Mark Carmen, Adam Hogue.
Chicago Sports Conversation.
Wide, wide world of sports.
This is The Beat.
Welcome in. This is The Beat. Adam Hogan, Mark Carmen. I was supposed to be off today, but I am here. I can't get away from you, Mark. I love you that much.
It was unbelievable when you called me and told me that, you know what? I love my wife. I love my son, but I really, really miss you, and I want to come and do the show with you because I know that you're headed out of town tomorrow and you won't be back for, you know, the next three shows. Let's everybody just sit back for a second right now. Take a deep breath and realize that the next three Beat shows I won't be on. I want Chicago and the world to pause. But you said I wanted to be with you on your last show because you're going to miss the next three because you're going to be out of town. And I said, Adam, I really appreciate that.
I'm actually going to miss the next five.
I forgot about that.
So here it is. Here we go. We'll pilot all. We'll pile three weeks of shows into these next 4 hours here on 720 WGN.
We do have a ton for you today. I know the Blackhawks traded Teuvo Teravainen. Nobody is happy about that, but they had to do it with Brian Bickell and wanting to bring Andrew Shaw back. So we'll have Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune, 5:35, if you want to bookmark your Blackhawks programming. We will have the stupidest person in the history of the world at 3:35. I'm just going to leave it out there like that. We'll do that at 3:35. You don't want to miss that. And just to start, we missed this. This was last Saturday, Adam. And I would say that at least when I'm around the Bears, your closest guy that to me that like will like stop, like we were doing a radio show once at the United Center, and he was walking by and he just stopped and he sat down, Kyle Long.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of your guy over there a little bit. Or I don't know. I know you don't want to say what. Well,
no, Kyle and I are cool.
Right, but
Kyle's cool with most of the media. Kyle Long gets it in this town.
Right, he does. He does.
He really gets it.
I mean,
well, or does he? Because you have a problem with him,
well,
apparently.
So Kyle Long, and I think all of Chicago, because we have on good sources, I know that Kyle is listening to the show right now. He wanted to hear Adam today. And so Kyle Long was at a barbecue last weekend, the annual Sausage and Peppers O-Line cookout at the Maguza House. It was a great
success. Dave Magazoo house, the offensive line coach, Dave Magazoo.
Yeah, Dave Magazoo, right. That's what I meant.
The Magazoo. Is that what you just said?
The Magazoo. Magazoo.
I like the Magazoo. I'm going to call him that from now on.
Dave Magazoo, the O-line coach?
Dave Magazoo.
When did Dave Magazoo get here? Should I know Dave Magazoo?
Yeah, this is his second year. He came here with John Fox.
I mean, I apologize to the Magazoo family.
The Magazoozoo.
The Magoos. The Mugaruzoos. So he's at the Mugazoo house, and Kyle Long's got a picture up, and he's in the front, and all the Magazoos are there, and, you know, a bunch of Chicago Bears as well. And he's wearing a Chicago Cubs hat.
Okay, I saw this. Yeah. I think I retweeted this last week.
Okay, well, then
I'm confused. What did we miss?
Well, because Kyle Long, if you forgot about this.
I did not forget. I know what you're going to say.
Okay, well, he was drafted by the Chicago White Sox.
Correct.
Okay. So
Didn't sign with them.
Right, he didn't sign with them, but he was a Chicago White Sox 23rd round pick, 2008, right? And he was throwing, by the way, back in the day before he bulked up. The guy was throwing like 95, 96 from the left side and hitting bombs.
I bet you he could still throw close to 90.
According to the scouting report that I was reading about Kyle Long today, because that's what I did with my day,
yeah.
Once he bulked up, he went from like 95 to 85 because you got to have that elasticity in your shoulder. And
oh, yeah. That makes sense.
You know, so he didn't. So then the Sox were like, yeah, no. And he was obviously going to go play football. But he tweeted out after that, Adam Hogue, you know, I was drafted by the Sox. I live in the North Shore. I'm a Chicagoan. And he's rooting for both teams.
Okay.
Well, you can't root for both teams, man. This is a pick-a-side town. This is not.
But he's not a Chicagoan. Well, I mean, now he is, I guess. But he didn't grow up here.
He didn't. But at some point, you've got to, you know, take it on.
Well, if you're him, aren't you probably, I mean, and this is coming from a Sox fan, but I'm probably going to be a Cubs fan.
No, you're
if
not.
If I'm him, not me, I'm saying if I'm him.
Okay.
Like right now, I don't care if I was drafted by the White Sox.
No, listen.
And by the way, I don't want to say never, but when I've seen him wear hats of teams in this town, it's usually the Cubs hat.
Okay, well then fine. Own it. I am a Chicago Cubs fan.
Well, he doesn't want to ruffle feathers with half this town.
Oh, come on. Take a
He's
side,
He's got to take
man.
The politically correct side.
No, he doesn't.
You don't want to make all these White Sox fans angry.
3-1-2-9.
All five of us.
Three under 500, but still hanging in there. 312-981-7200 is Kyle Long. Should he be on the trading block? Because he can't pick a side. You got to pick a side in life, man. You're either a Dairy Queen or you're a Baskin Robbins guy. I'm a B-Rob all day long. I like a real ice cream.
I've never been posed with that question in my life. I didn't know I had to choose.
That's a major, major decision in life.
I do go Baskin Robbins, though, because it is legit ice cream.
Yeah, I mean, right. Some people like
it. I don't need that soft serve.
There's the right, but see, I'm with you. Give me a fist pump. Yeah. See, we're aligned, but there's a lot of people that would prefer a Blizzard in their day. Kyle Long does... You can't be a prominent Chicago sports figure and go both. I just don't think you can. 312-981-7200. And more, forget about Chicago sports figures. You can't root for both. Like, you just can't.
I don't think he probably doesn't.
I think he does.
I don't think he's sitting there watching baseball games every single night, rooting for both teams.
Yeah. He writes, yeah, I tweeted, and that's what gives. I'm bald, and I own multiple Chicago baseball hats. Hashtag sue me. Hashtag UV protection. He's very enjoyable. I love me some Kyle Long.
He is.
But, you know, this guy could actually go down as a Hall of Fame offensive lineman in the city, right?
Do you know who got to meet Kyle Long this week?
Who's that?
Ted Albrecht. Our guy.
I love Ted Albrecht.
They had a big alumni outing, Bears alumni at Bears minicamp this week.
Okay.
A bunch of guys out there. Ted Albrecht was one of them.
Dave and Ted, Saturday afternoon, Saturday nights, Northwestern football coming right around the corner. Adam Hoge on the sidelines. Mark Carmen up in the booth rubbing Dave Ennett's back. And Ted
Is that
Albrecht.
What you do up there?
I read a couple scores and whatnot. I get Ted water, and I make sure that you're okay downstairs.
I appreciate
it. I know.
I'm going to have to start coming up for a back rub at halftime, though.
I'm here. Any role that I can have to be around the Wildcats, I am very, very grateful to have it. And that's, you know, I do have to give some scores. But my main thing is, you know, supporting and helping the team out in any way possible. And if you need another back rub, I'll do it for you, Adam.
Big week for the Wildcats, by the way. We'll get to that later.
Yeah,
on
that's
the
true.
Show.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, with Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, you can relive the best moments of the game anytime you want. Start your 30-day trial at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus.
This is 720. This is WGN.
Back here on the beat, Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen here with you. Before we take a little break here for the next couple weeks, at least us. Someone asking on the text line, who will be here when we're not, Mark? We got a great lineup of sports people here at WGN.
We do. Everybody wants our job. And to be with us too, Adam. You know, they just want to hang with us. But Sam Panionovich.
Maybe me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, that's true. Sam Panionovich, Kevin Powell, and Jared Payton will be on tomorrow afternoon, and then to be determined after that. But a combination of those three, I would think, would be sitting on in. And I'd also like to nominate Kathy, who was texting in the show. Adam, here is a picture of the Birdmobile in the pet pocket and three in the stroller. Kathy, thank you for texting in. She is
now when she called them, what was this? This had to be 3 weeks ago when we had this conversation about not wheeling your dogs around in strollers, since the point of walking a dog is to have the dog walk.
Right. You were very upset coming into the show a couple weekends ago that you saw dogs in a stroller.
Right.
And so,
but then Kathy took it to a whole nother level when she called in and told us that she pushes her birds around in the stroller, which I kind of think is torture, because birds belong outside to begin with. I don't really believe that you should even have them as pets.
Well, she has a...
And you're putting them in a cage and carrying them around outside in their natural habitat. This is just not fair.
Yeah, it's an aggressive move here by you, Kathy, and I did ask you, I believe at the time, are you slightly, you know, strange person like myself? And you said yes. And this picture does confirm that, you know, you've got a frontwards backpack That's what's in that front backpack there, Adam? Can you help me out?
Well, she called it a pet pocket.
Oh, yeah.
And she apparently has three birds in there, and then she has three birds in the stroller.
So six birds all hanging out, living a dream.
Going for a walk with your birds. Now, I'm just curious, what would you do if you walk past this lady?
I'd talk to her, and I'd say, Kathy, what's your name? And she'd say, Kathy, and I'd say, what are you doing? And she'd say, these are my birds.
I might cross the street.
I wouldn't cross, Kathy. I'd be right there with you. I respect what you're doing. The birds need to get outside, but they can't be let into the wild at this point. And hey, thank you very much for texting it, so we have a visual. We're really hoping that we also hear from our guy who's sailing from Chicago to Mackinac Island, who did email the show during the week, said that if he does get cell service in Michigan, because we were talking about sailing and how great it is as a sport, but how awful it is to watch. And he called it and said that he loves sailing and he loves watching sailing and he's going to go sailing and he would call us from his boat.
I like that we have an interactive listenership here.
Yes.
on the beat. And Kathy, we appreciate you texting in those photos. We're giving you a little bit of a hard time about your birds, but we appreciate you listening. And same with our sailor friend. It would be great to hear from him today.
Yeah, and Kathy, by the way, you're not alone. You've got people supporting you, 312-981-7200.
No.
Yes, she does. Kathy, I see you, and I believe in you, and you are absolute. I'm on your team. And so is Nancy, who called 720 WGN to support Kathy. Hello, Nancy. Hang on, Nancy. Now talk.
Okay.
Go ahead, Nancy. What do you got?
Hi there. I actually have two dog strollers because I became so dependent on one that I was afraid it was going to stop working, so I bought a backup. But that's because my dog came down with a disc disease and she was no longer able to walk, so it was the only way she was able to get outside.
Okay, and we did cover that a couple weeks ago, Nancy, that it is perfectly okay if you're obviously if your dog is injured and wants to get outside, it needs a little help. That is certainly okay. These dogs that I saw were just perfectly normal dogs.
Nancy, I'm gonna step into the uncomfortable area of like how much to take care of your animal right now. I mean, you're not going bankrupt, are you? Because it gets super expensive when dogs get sick.
No, it didn't take me bankrupt, but if it had, I would have gone there.
See? That's what I'm talking about. I mean, people
spend a lot of money on their pets.
A lot of dough,
including me.
Now, how do you know, though, the dogs that you saw, that they were perfectly healthy?
Because they were, like, jumping up and down in the stroller. They were, like, small little dogs. They were moving around. So it's not like they were just laying there and couldn't walk.
Now, see, I'm a big fan of walking. I will walk all day long, and my dog, even when she's healthy, can only handle a couple hours. So I either leave her at home or I put her in the stroller. I mean, it's a win-win
for the dog.
So you're
going for, like, 3-4 hour walks?
Oh, I walk, absolutely. I love to walk.
Nancy, can you text me next time you're going to go on a 3-4 hour walk? I'll come.
I get exhausted watching 3 hours of TV.
I'm actually moving to somewhere where I can walk everywhere.
Where are you going, Nancy? Where are you moving to?
Florida.
Okay.
You can still stream us at WGNradio.com.
Yeah, don't ever forget us, Nancy.
Oh, I plan on it. And thanks to Lou Manfredini, I'm having a floating home built out there.
Wow.
Ooh.
Got it.
I'm very excited.
Can we come?
Pays to know Lou.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Nancy, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You got it.
Lou is like top five people
Lou's unbelievable. There's nothing better than waking up in the morning on Saturday and having Lou tell me how to fix my toilet. Honestly, I know how to do nothing. I should be sitting there with notes every Saturday, outside of the fact that the show's just entertaining, period. But the amount of knowledge that that guy's dropped, how does he know all that?
I don't know. Experience, I guess.
Does anybody know more about anything than Lou Manfredini knows about how to make your life better in a very practical essence?
No, and a very useful. Yeah. Like
think about the use of that show versus the use of this show.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
There is no use to this show outside of perhaps minor entertainment every now and then if we get lucky. That show has like real value. I hope they probably pay Lou more than they, you know.
I don't know. I think that we are pretty useful. And
how so?
Well, I mean, stopping this movement, # don't let dogs sit in strollers.
That's true.
I mean,
true.
We're here for you.
That's true. Very good point. We are on the wall for stopping stroller walks, which is completely fine, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it bothers you. And so I want to be on your team today, so I'm bothered too.
Thank you.
First time was not bothered. Hey, I was bothered by how would I put it? We're doing that a little bit later. But there was in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to have the stupidest person ever. But
yes.
But the best trade, perhaps in the history of this city, happened this week.
Really?
Yes. It's not the Blackhawks trade. That was a bad trade, or at least a unfortunate trade. This, I think, was the best trade ever. We're going to talk about it after the 3:30 news.
Can't wait. 720 WGN.
So the best trade ever. Or at least in, like, the last 3 years.
Whoa, that's a big difference.
That is a big difference, I agree. It's a little tongue-in-cheek right now on 720 WGN The Beat. But did you see what the Chicago Bulls did this week?
Did they trade Derrick Rose?
No, but according to ESPN.com, the Knicks are interested, which is not going to happen. But
well, based on what the Knicks have been doing lately, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
I believe it, I guess is what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm sure they would take Derrick Rose for some of the garbage that they have, and the Bulls aren't going to take that garbage back. So there's that. No, they did not trade Derrick Rose, nor did they trade Jimmy Butler to the Minnesota Timberwolves. People are like, well, it was Zach LaVine and the number 5 pick. Zach LaVine, by the way.
Done. Yes.
For Jimmy?
Yes.
No. Come on. Zach LaVine's... okay.
He's okay, but you're getting number 5 pick.
Yeah, who are you taking? Chris Dunn?
I don't know, but this Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler thing's not working, dude. Yeah. I don't know if you watch Bulls basketball.
Okay, get rid of Rose. Keep Jimmy.
No one's going to take him.
Well, he's gone after 1 year. And you can't.
So you're just going to waste another year of like...
Yes. Doesn't matter. LeBron's not going anywhere. You're not winning now.
You guys act like Jimmy Butler is like...
Who's you guys?
I just, in general, everybody... like. Jimmy Butler he's fine.
He's the best basketball player on the team. You don't give away the best player on the team.
You do if the best player on the team isn't that great. We're not talking about an MVP candidate.
Listen, if Minnesota, which they don't or shouldn't and won't, and even then, I wonder if the Bulls and all their infinite wisdom would do it, but if they were to offer Andrew Wiggins,
yeah,
done.
Like just straight up?
Oh.
Why would they do that?
They wouldn't,
right?
But Tom Thibodeau maybe loves Jimmy Butler and he thinks that Andrew Wiggins is something. I don't think that will happen. But Zach LaVine,
like,
and,
first of all, can you? Thibodeau's like in charge over there.
Yeah,
like I know they have a GM, but he's the one calling shots.
He's the president and coach, and he hired Scott Layden to
be
really
the GM. You really think that he and Pax?
That's another
and Gar can like come together and pull off a trade?
He's not on that phone call. That would be Scott and Gar. And
just thinking about those calls and conversations, that's pretty entertaining.
It's not happening. But what did happen this week, are you aware of a man by the name of Spencer Dinwiddie?
I am.
Do you remember Spencer Dinwiddie's, who the Bulls got this week for Cameron Bairstow, who maybe was the worst player in the NBA? Like, Cameron Bairstow was so
In and he did some things.
He had long flowing Dan Long, our producer style hair. That's all that Cameron Bairstow did.
He did.
He literally never hit a shot. He was beyond awful. I mean,
he's like a
bad player in the NBA, in the D League. They traded Cameron Bairstow for Spencer Dinwiddie.
So how bad is Dinwiddie then?
Dinwiddie, we've got the highlights for you.
Oh, great.
This was, listen to this. Cameron Bairstow doesn't have any of this stuff.
Under 2 to play in the half. Dinwiddie with a drive. Got it off the glass and scored it.
In terms of teammates away and made him take the shot.
Dinwiddie!
It really turned up the physicality on him.
Goes 4 for 8 for 9. A swipe by Dinwiddie from Noah. Greg Monroe lays it up, lays it in.
Okay, pause it right there, Dan. We got like an hour more of highlights. The names that you're hearing.
That's against the Bulls.
That's against the Bulls. His first start ever, his 17th game in the NBA, his first start ever was against the Bulls and Derrick Rose, and he whipped his behind. There's a word. I'm on 720 WGN.
So?
They just traded Cameron Bairstow for a guy who killed the Bulls.
Yeah, but he killed Derrick Rose. We just covered how no one wants Derrick Rose.
Give me more Dinwiddie. More Dinwiddie, please. I love this guy.
Deron Butler feels it, fires, fills it up.
By heat check, we mean, let me see how hot I really am.
Thank you. Dinwiddie from downtown drains it.
Oh.
Listen to this.
Dinwiddie.
Cody Meeks down the lane on Heinrich. Dinwiddie looking for some daylight. Shot blocked by Rose. Saved it to Spencer. And he'll lay it up and lay it in.
Never the blind save underneath your own basket, the one that you're defending.
One more.
With a dozen, a career high. Pistons 85, Chicago 78. 5.5 left. Butler's pass picked off by Dinwiddie. Pistons on the break. And they're going to call a block on Rose.
All right, that's good. That's good. I mean, are you kidding me? He's picking off Jimmy Butler. He's torching Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose is saving balls inbound. Dinwiddie, he's feeding everybody on the team. Like, all those highlights of Dinwiddie not scoring, Dinwiddie fed him.
I mean, to me, it just sounds like the Bulls are playing bad in those highlights.
Well, they are, but it's because of Dinwiddie.
Dinwiddie
is going to ring out through the United Center all season long. Dinwiddie. Has there ever been a better name?
So this is Derrick Rose's backup now?
He may start.
Jesus.
No, yes, he's his backup. They're not going to bring back Aaron Brooks, and they'll probably bring back Etuan Moore unless he gets a huge contract from someone, which, of course, is possible. Dinwiddie's nickname also was the mayor, which is the same.
Oh, that explains his tweet.
Yeah.
Because he was like, who's the mayor or something?
Right. Fred Hoiberg was the mayor, too. So now we got two mayors on the team.
Basically, we just have a lot of bad mayors in Chicago.
Yes. If you're curious about Dinwiddie, he played at Colorado. He's drafted 38th overall, 2014. Bairstow was drafted number 49 overall. 23 years old, 6'6", 200. Who's fired up for Bulls basketball? 312-981-7200. Will Dinwiddie lead him to the promised land? Can they make the eighth seed of the playoffs with Dinwiddie?
Do we have a cricket sound effect?
312-981-7200. The phone lines are smoking with Dinwiddie fans. I'm so in.
I love your team. They're just.
When I heard the Bulls made a trade, sweet, what'd they do? They traded Cameron Bairstow for Spencer Dinwiddie. Dinwiddle.
At least, I mean,
it's unbelievable.
It seems like they won the trade.
I think they won the trade.
I mean,
this is the best trade that Gar Foreman's made in years.
That might actually be true.
Way to go, Gar. Dinwiddie in the fold. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. That really made my week. Now that, because you just don't get guys on your team like that all the time who have a name like Spencer Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie. What was he called in school?
That's not on his Wikipedia page.
Dinwiddie Doodles? Dinwiddie. Hey, Dinwiddie, pay attention.
Cameron Bairstow.
Dinwiddles.
Cameron Bairstow is going to be in the All-Star game next year.
Cameron Bairstow will not make the All-Star team of your high school. That guy is, he's just a nice guy. Good luck with that. He will not be on a, I mean, wow. I don't know what's going on in Detroit. Maybe they see something. But Dinwiddie Doodles is taking the Bulls to the promised land. 312-981-7200. People are fired up. Okay. Yeah.
Doubles.
Seventh banner's coming every day. Really, like honestly, and we can move on from this right now, and we have our Northside-Southside report after a quick timeout, but whatever the Bulls do in the next, 3 years is irrelevant. They're never getting by the Cleveland Cavaliers, ever.
Well, yeah, and how long has this been going on? Since LeBron was drafted.
Well, they were close for a second.
For a second? They won they won one game in that series.
No. They won two last year. 2-2, 2-2, 2-2.
No.
But they beat them twice in the Eastern Conference semis, and they were up in game four. They were about to go up 3-1, and LeBron hit the corner shot. They were right
for
there.
For a second.
They were right there.
I love, though, but then, game one, what was that? What year was that? 2011? 20...
You're talking about the Nate Robinson year. Yeah, they won.
You definitely thought that they were going to win that series.
No, Rose was hurt. They were not. I know. I didn't think that.
And then, And then they win first game, and then LeBron goes, yeah, I'm done with this. Wins the next four.
Well, that's what always happens.
Exactly.
I understand that, but like if Noah hadn't gotten hurt, and when Cleveland was completely, Love was out, Kyrie was out, like that was their chance, and they just didn't get it done. So they fired Tom Thibodeau. Great decision. 312-981-7200 North Side, South Side report. We'll check in on the baseball next. 720 WGN.
Execution is the most important aspect of facing a team multiple times, especially in a short time span or a division rival that you see a lot. You know, I don't care if a guy's 0-for against me in 30 at-bats. The more he sees me, the more comfort that's probably going to be developed there, and that's just kind of standard around the league. But I think when you face a team multiple times like that, you just have to try and minimize the amount of mistakes because at some point they'll take advantage of it.
That's the great Jake Arrieta. After yet another win, it's our North Side, South Side report sponsored by Vienna Beef, and I think we can just copy and paste every other one of these we've done all season. White Sox lose, Cubs win by 6.
Yeah, that is about right. Hey,
every single day.
You all right over there?
Every single day the Cubs win. I guess they either lose or they win by 6. They had one close game against the Nationals this week they won, right?
It's
like the first time in 3 weeks they've had to win a one-run game.
And then they had the terrible loss on Wednesday where they were up in the ninth, and then they were up in extras.
Season's over.
Well, they lost 2-3 to the Nats and Dusty.
Oh, no.
White Sox are playing the Indians today in Cleveland. As we just mentioned, they lost yesterday 3-2, so that's a 5-10 first pitch. And then the Cubs with a rare Saturday night game at Wrigley. Cubs and the Pirates 7-15.
You going?
The friendly confines. I am not. It's Dad's Day tonight because I'm going out of town, so I'm going to see my pops and my family for dinner. I will tell you, because I do like to talk about ticket prices.
Yes.
I had a buddy go yesterday. Him, his brother, and his brother's son, and condolences actually to my buddy Dave Frank, who lost his mom earlier this week. Who's a great lady and was a teacher and a friend and all that. So they were at the Cub game yesterday. Huge dough now for tickets on the street right
it
now.
Exploded?
Yes, big time.
School's over, summer's here.
School's over, and the tickets are hot. That is official. So he wanted to take care of his nephew, but to get into the ballpark yesterday, they didn't have seats. It was a little more expensive than anticipated. But
my sort of along those lines, my future brother-in-law, they're trying to plan. My sister's getting married in September. Football season wedding.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's not good for you. They should be thinking about you, Adam, and not themselves.
Exactly. But anyway, they're trying to plan his bachelor party.
Uh-huh.
And the plan was to do a Brewer game because he went to school in Marquette, and he's a Brewer fan. They're playing the Cubs, though, the weekend they were trying to do this and had their eyes on like a group set of tickets, and I got the email this morning. Yeah, that's not happening. Well, I guess they could still do it, but it would be standing room only.
I recommend an SRO. There's always seats around. Go standing room. How many people?
Well, it's like a group of probably 15, 20 people.
Cool. Though. You hang out in the back, have a couple cocktails. Great day. Do the standing room.
I think we are. I think we are. But it just that's in Milwaukee.
Oh.
But that's my point. It's not in Wrigley. That's in Milwaukee.
I missed that part.
The Cubs are...
Yes.
Filling joints.
Yeah. It's the monster is back. John Lester on the mound tonight, 8-3 with a 1.89. The Pirates, who are now under 500, countering with Jonathan Neese. And more importantly, Adam, are you excited to see James Shields pitch tonight for your Chicago White Sox or late this afternoon while we're on? Will we be watching? When we have the TV on in here, how many runs is James Shields going to give up?
Well, okay, the game starts at 5.
Yes.
We're off the air at 7.
Yes. You'll be here for his entire stuff.
Will he still be in the game by the 6 o'clock news?
Let's have a contest. Let's have a contest. 312-981-7200. What inning will James Shields get knocked out in?
Closest. We should do over under on like clock time.
We'll take you
6:15 over under.
We'll take texts, and if you want to call, that's fine too. 312-981-7200 first five people closest to Price is Right. If you're over, is that how we want to do it, Price is Right style? If you say the fifth inning and it's 4 2/3, you still lose?
No, I thought Price is Right, you can't go over.
Right. So I'm saying if you say...
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Price is Right style.
Sure.
312-981-7200.
But
James Shields.
You know, the White Sox have won more James Shields starts than Jose Quintana starts lately.
That is unbelievable.
You cannot tell me that's mental. That not mental, by the way.
I have a hard time telling you that's mental. How you think that they see that...
I think without a doubt, Jose Quintana is on the hill and that entire lineup gets anxious, pressure, feeling some kind of pressure. There's no way that that's not at least playing a part.
This
has been going on for like 3 years. How is that possible?
It's the randomness of baseball.
No, it's not random. It's random. When a guy pitches that well for as long as he's pitched and he can't get more than 3 runs, ever...
So you think let's just step back and for a second and talk about what you're saying. You think that they see Jose Quintana on the mound and start to get all sorts of anxiety because they haven't won for this guy.
I think they're feeling the pressure.
That's hard to believe,
dude. When you go into slumps, what happens? You tighten up at the plate.
Yeah, but like it's in the middle of the week and like it's a different. I
don't know how else to explain it, because it's incredible.
I mean,
there's no way that could be a coincidence. Every 5 days for like 3 years.
I mean, I suppose it's possible. They're in their head on Jose Quintana.
I'm not saying it's the whole thing, but I think it plays a part, and it's not the whole game. Carm, what I'm saying is, though, when it's like even the first inning and you got the leadoff guy at second base. That's what I'm talking about. High-pressure situations. When you have a guy, okay, guys are in scoring position. Man, we got to get this run for Jose. We never do. You can't tell me that's not what they're thinking when they go to the plate.
See, I think Major League Baseball players think about three things. Money, their social life, and money. I mean, winning is like a distant sixth. That's just how it is.
That's what the Cubs are thinking about right now?
I mean, listen, they all want to win. That's unfair. But I certainly don't think they're like I really want to support my teammate. We're not going to be able to get to a spot of agreement on this one. James Shields is 0-1 with a 16.71 ERA after the White Sox picked him up from the Padres when he gave up 10 runs in the start. And Jerry Reinsdorf called his general manager and said, "You sure you want to do this?" The guy just got smoked, but they went ahead and did it because they believe that they're in the playoffs. Let's see what people think. How long will James Shields last tonight? One of the great games on 720 WGN. Tony, what do you got on James Shields? We're getting White Sox calls. You should be happy.
I'm going with 3 1/3, and his ERA is going to go from 16.7 to 22.5.
Tony, we got you down. 3 1/3. Are the White Sox going to make the playoffs, Tony?
Negative.
All right. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate you.
By the way, true story, Shields' first start at the Cell a couple weeks ago, I was there.
Yeah.
And because your ERA, your stats all start over when you change leagues.
Yeah.
It's weird. But so his ERA in the first inning when he gave up like a bajillion runs, his ERA went over 100 and it was too big to fit on the scoreboard. Like the spot where they had the ERA on the scoreboard.
They didn't have enough columns.
They didn't have enough digits there, so they just changed it to runs.
And
put it at 6. He had given up 6 runs and like had nobody out yet.
He is 2-8 with a 5.45 ERA overall. I'll do that math for you, but they don't, right. It resets. And with the White Sox, he's 0-1 with a 16.71. Hey, Jimbo, how's he going to do today?
How you doing? Sox will make the playoffs 7 1/3. You know, let's talk about, was John Lester a disappointment at the start of last year? Yes. You know, you have bad days, you have a bad week, and then you get acclimated.
All right, Jimbo, I like that optimism. And April last year was awful for John Lester.
Did he have a 16 ERA?
It wasn't that bad, but it was over 5. Jimbo, you're a believer, huh?
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Excellent.
Jimbo, I want to hang out more with you. I need positive people in my life. Thank you. I hope you're right. 7-3.
Sox make the playoffs?
Well, hey, Jimbo wants to live his dream. You can learn something from Jimbo. So can I.
How about I learn that to make the playoffs, you have to beat the Indians. Since they're in first place.
Well, they got a chance today. We'll take text on that. So we got a 3 1/3 and a 7 1/3, and we've got a timeout, and then we're talking NBA Finals. Adam the Bull, who's from Cleveland, by the way, will be with us after the 4 o'clock news. He's excellent. He's very good. He's entertaining. He's a Cup fan too. 720 WGN.
We lose!
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
I'm Mark Carmen. He is Adam Hogue. You are hopefully having a great day on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. Tomorrow night, in one of the more improbable, unlikely, we didn't think this was coming, Game 7 epic NBA games. Like, we're talking 84 Lakers, Celts, and all that. I mean, this is a big-time basketball game tomorrow night.
It is.
Cavs and the Golden State Warriors. Adam the Bull, who is an incredibly good-looking man who loves the Chicago...
Not at all.
Well...
That
is not true, Adam. You absolutely are. You're a Cub fan, and you are a great afternoon host for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. And listen, before we get into the Cavs, I have a very important question. I need help from you. I need help from your audience right now. Can you do that for me?
Sure.
Sure.
So I'm making my journey to Chicago in August, right? I got my whole plan mapped out, going to a couple of Cubs games. And I got all my meals. I'm making reservations 2 months in advance. But I'm down to one decision here. I need help.
Okay.
Either two restaurants, Monteverde or Solero. Do you have a recommendation between the two?
Okay, I don't. Adam, do you?
I don't.
We will go to the text line on that. Monteverde or Solero. We'll have an answer for you before you leave us in about 10 minutes or so. Monteverde. Or Solero, 312-981-7200. Feel free to text Adam. Adam will break. We'll decipher the direction that you go with your text and make his decision. All right. We were just talking before having you on here, Adam, and my partner Adam Hogue is saying that, as I take your question, Adam, that LeBron has more to gain by winning than he does by losing. Do you agree with that?
Or more to gain by winning than he can lose by losing?
Yes.
Right, I think that he's got much more to gain tomorrow night in Game 7 than lose.
100%, and I 100% agree with you. And I think it might be the first time in his career that that's the case.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess he could have said that last year, but last year him winning was so unrealistic because of the team that I don't know if you could have realistically made the case that he could win. But, yeah, he because of what's happened here, like, to me, if they win this series, and it's unfair to say totally he, because obviously Tyrese played very well in the series, especially in Game 5, and Tristan Thompson was an animal last game. Richard Jefferson's been solid. But obviously, you know, LeBron's been the best player in the series by a mile. And if he wins, it's an all-timer, right? I mean, this is – especially – I mean, think about this. What if he scores – what if they win and he scores 40 or more again? I mean, that's legend status, maybe one of the greatest performances – in the history of the sport. So, yeah, he has a ton to gain here. I think the narrative about he can't win the big one and all the bad record in the final, to me, that completely goes away, and he's cemented right there in the, you know, all-time greats list. But conversely, if they lose, unless he – I mean, maybe if he played, like, the worst game ever, which I think is unlikely, but if they lose a hard-fought game, Game 7, you know, you'd be like, what are you going to do? They were 73-win team. He took him to 7 games. He played great. So, yeah, I think you're 100% right on that.
And I think, you know, you're talking – the whole notion that LeBron is unclutch is just simply not true. And I think the Dallas Finals kills him. But his last 6 elimination games, LeBron James – elimination. Your season is over if you lose. LeBron James, 36 points, 12-8, and he's 4-2. I mean, it's absurd. I mean, it's – I think it's pretty clear that – listen, no matter what happens here, LeBron is going to be – he's going to go down as the second greatest wing in the history of the game. I mean, Michael's going to be one, but I think LeBron's going to pass Kobe and Magic and everybody else. It sounds like you agree.
I do agree, yeah. And I grew up as a, you know, kid of the 80s. I loved Magic and Bird, though. I loved both of them. I thought they were the greatest. But Yeah, I think he's probably going to go down as number two all time when it's all said and done. There's no doubt about it. The unclutch stuff is ridiculous. Think about this. I mean, he's gone to seven finals. If you replace him, you know, during his career with, like, any other current player, how many finals do those teams go to? One, two? I mean, none of these Cavs teams go to the finals. If Steph Curry is on the Cavs instead of LeBron, they're not at the finals. I mean, I know it's a different team because of Kyrie. It's a little bit of a weird proposition. But still, you know, people criticize him for the finals losses. But he's gone to six in a row. You know, nobody besides those Celtics teams 100 years ago can say that. You know, I mean, obviously Michael, you know, was out of basketball for a couple of years. But even Michael can't say that because of that. So, I mean, that's incredible. And he's been an underdog in five of the seven. So he's 1-4 when he's been an underdog and 1-1 when he's been a favorite.
Adam,
so
the bold.
You know what? I should say 1-4 because if he wins this one, it'll be 2-3 in when he's been an underdog.
That's true. Adam the Bull joining us here on the beat on 720 WGN. So give us the pulse of Cleveland right now. I mean, look, championship starved city. I would imagine that, I mean, there should be a lot of pressure, I guess, but I also get the feeling that, I mean, just from you, that Cleveland kind of understands the situation, how unlikely it was to even get to this point. So what is the pressure level like on this game tomorrow night?
I mean, from the players, I think, to me, in my mind, I think the Warriors have a lot more pressure than the Cavs players do. I mean, we've seen it, right? Like, my theory, I got no way to prove this, but my theory is that the Warriors at 3-1 thought it was over, because usually 3-1, it's over, right? And, you know, they're only the third team ever to get it to a game seven down 3-1, the first team in 50 years. So at 3-1, I thought they thought it was over, and I think they, I don't know if it's took the foot off the gas, whatever cliche you want to use, I think they've lost their edge a little bit. I also think they've been extremely cocky and extremely dismissive and disrespectful, frankly, of the Cavs as a team. I'm not saying they got to bow down to LeBron. You know, I've criticized LeBron a million times myself, maybe unfairly sometimes. But, like, the comments by Klay Thompson about,
idiot,
you know, LeBron, this is a man's game. I mean, is he serious?
Yeah.
What an idiotic comment to make. I think that ticked off LeBron, and you saw it when he talked trash to Curry. I mean, there's no comparison between who's the better player, Curry or LeBron. It's not even close. But for Klay Thompson to talk trash, say it's a man's game, especially when the day before he just complained that Mozgov fouled him intentionally, which was obviously ridiculous. Mozgov's just a big goof. And he did, you know, he fouled them. I mean, they were the ones crying about intentional fouls this whole series. They're crying about free throws. They're crying about referees. So they better be careful about who they say, you know, when they talk about it's a man's game, because LeBron is the man in the NBA.
Yeah, and Steve Kerr, who is one of my favorites, and he was, you know, a great role player for the Chicago Bulls, and he's an incredibly likable guy. But, you know, they're up, they lose game six, or and he's saying, well, you know, or rather they lose game five. He's like, well, you know, I really like our position a hell of a lot more than I like theirs. Hey, man, like, there's no point in saying that stuff. And Klay Thompson, you're out of your gore. You don't talk at the best player in the game. What are you, nuts? If I was Klay Thompson, I'd call a press conference today and say, hey, by the way, when I said that, I was a complete moron, and I apologize, and LeBron's amazing. Thank you.
Right. I mean, it is ridiculous. Like, can you imagine, like, Karl Malone, you know, saying, yeah, you know, we're losing the series, but, yeah, I think Michael Jordan's a little overrated. He's not, you know, I mean, nobody was stupid enough to do that with Michael.
John Starks,
I mean, and yet these guys are gutsy. It's unbelievable.
No, you're right, and I think it is cockiness. You know, I think that's the right word. But yeah, it's like, it's unnecessary cockiness. I mean, it's okay to have a little swagger and be confident and maybe show that sometimes when you're winning. But to cross over a line that you just don't need to when you're dealing with a guy who, you know, his talent level and how just much of a physical beast he can be on the court, you don't want to anger that guy.
Well, no, exactly. They've ticked him off, no doubt. Listen, hey, guys, we all know Golden State is still in the series. I'm not ready to – you know, I think the Cavs are going to win. I feel like for a variety of reasons, some of which I've already said, but obviously they're at home. They could certainly still win this series. But if they lose it, it's maybe the biggest choke in the history of the sport.
It would be an incredible ending to a 73-win season that started 24-0, going for a back-to-back.
It's just a bad look. Like, the way they handled the end of Game 6, some of the comments they've made, it's just in general, it just the last three games really would be an awful look for that franchise.
And Adam, let me read you one of these texts. It says, this guy, I believe that is you, is on crack. The refs gave Cleveland two games. So there's this narrative out.
Oh, my God. That's got
to
stop.
There's this narrative out there that, and Ayesha Curry, who we're going to get to after 4:30, but that the NBA is fixing the series. I don't know what your take is, but let me just throw this out there. Steph Curry, you've got five fouls. Why are you contesting LeBron in the backcourt 90 feet away from the hoop when you have five fouls? It's complete.
Exactly.
Talk about cocky. I mean, it's playing out that way, too. It's not just what he says. It's how he's acting.
Yeah, listen, nobody's denying that a couple of the fouls on Curry were bad calls. No doubt. But by the time he fouled out, the game was over. The Cavs were winning it. The Cavs, let's face it. I know the Warriors made a run, a couple of runs. I still believe that game was over at the end of the first quarter. You know, we'll never know. But and listen, I'm not crazy enough to say Kevin Love is close to Steph Curry, and Kevin Love's been lousy in the series. But how about that third foul on Kevin Love? He didn't even touch anybody.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it's pathetic to blame officials. I never blame officials one way or the other. I work in Cleveland, but you guys, you know, I'm not from Cleveland, so it's not like I'm biased because I've been rooting for Cleveland my whole life. I call it like I see it. Referees have had nothing to do with this series. All six games have been essentially one-sided. And the league, if you're someone who believes the league is fixing things, then why bother watching the game? These leagues have too much to lose. If we found out the league was fixing games, who would watch it? I mean, so I know ever since the Tim Donaghy thing, the one rogue official, everybody wants to go down that road all the time. We get to see all these calls with high-def TVs and slow-motion replay, and they look obvious. But when you're refereeing the greatest athletes on the planet, these things happen quickly, you know, so they're going to blow calls. What are you going to do?
Right, and it's no – just remember the Spurs-Thunder series, like, a month ago. I mean, there was all these bad calls. It's basketball. College basketball, the officials suck. In the NBA, the officials suck. It's the sport. The sport is hard to officiate, and the officials aren't good at it.
I don't necessarily think they're not that good. What are you going to do? The action's so fast. These guys are incredible athletes. I mean, you could have seven officials out there on this call. And by the way, how does Steve Kerr complain about LeBron flopping when he has the greatest flopper in the NBA, Anderson Barishaw, who every minute he's been on the court has done nothing but flop?
I love that dynamic. The former Cav now playing for Golden State and patting Steph Curry on the back as he heads to the locker room with 4 minutes to go because he completely loses his mind. And by the way, I don't know if people in Cleveland are screaming at Andrew Forbes, who was the guy that got hit by Curry's mouthpiece. He's the son of minority owner Nate Forbes. But, Adam, tell me if that guy doesn't fall over and act like he got cracked in the eye, Steph Curry's suspended. He's got to be.
No.
You got to.
I know. It's crazy. It's so funny because, you know, I'm saying Warriors fans are nuts with all the complaining. Some Cavs fans wanted Curry suspended anyway. And I'm like, I got on the air yesterday. I said, come on, let's not be crazy. And you don't want to win that way anyway.
I agree.
Right. That's ridiculous. There should be there's no press. People are like, well, Udonis has when he threw it at something at the official. Curry lost his mind, and it was bad form. But it's a fine, and you move on. That's it. Let's play ball. Game 7.
All right. Hey, it's pretty overwhelming that you should go to Monteverde, and somebody's giving a restaurant food advice for you to get the egg yolk ravioli. So there's that for you. And
overwhelming. So, okay, can I ask another question?
Sure.
We got time?
Sure.
Yeah, we're good.
I'm thinking, last time I was there, I went to Pequod's for deep dish, which was amazing.
Yeah.
So now I haven't been, and then last time so now I'm thinking about going to Giordano's. Should I go back to Pequod's, or should I try Giordano's the first time?
Okay, now that you're going to get a huge split on that. I love Giordano's. Yeah. I love Pequod's. I love Lou Malnati's.
I've been to Malnati's before. I've been to Malnati's, and I've been to Pequod's. I've never been to the Giordano's though before.
Well, it's worth trying then, if you're trying to get the trifecta.
Right. I'm thinking.
I'm going off the board, and you should go to the Chicago Pizza and Oven Grinder on Clark and get the pizza pot pie. It's unbelievable. That's my recommendation.
Wait, what's the name of that place again? I'm going to write that down.
That would be the Chicago Pizza and Oven Grinder. It's been there forever. Oh. It's got an old, like, Wisconsin-y, woodsy feel, and it's just amazing.
Very good. And how about Stara Polska for Polish? Is that the place to go? Stara Polska?
Hogue?
I don't know that one.
Dan Long, you got a Stara Polska going?
I am not familiar, no.
Yeah, well, we're 0 for 3 on that one, Adam. Give us your one Cub thought. They have enough to win it all? Do they need to make a move?
Well, they can win it all. But, I mean, listen, we all know it's baseball. You never know. I've never had this much fun watching the Cubs play my entire life. And as a it's painful for me to not be, you know, obviously I didn't grow up in Chicago. I grew up in New York as a Cubs fan because my dad was. And I never had any friends that were Cubs fans, which is really frustrating now, especially because they're so good. The team's awesome. Love everything they're doing. I would like to see them make a move. I don't think the Yankees are ready to do something yet, but once they are, go get Chapman or go get Andrew Miller, one of those two guys. But the Cubs, to me, are head and shoulders better than every team. But I'll tell you what, guys, the Mets still make me nervous because their pitching is dangerous in the playoffs. That we never know. This is, if the Cubs don't win a World Series in the next 3 years, it's never going to happen. And I'm not a jinx guy. Yeah. I don't believe in curses. But it's going to happen in the next 3 years or it's never going to happen. So get as good as you can. Get it done. And Theo goes down as the greatest GM in the history of sports if the Cubs win a World Series.
Right. I'm assuming that there is a plan for the Theo statue being built around the renovations. Hey, Adam, great stuff as always, man. Enjoy your trip to Chicago. If we can help you out further, hit us up. Maybe we can drop
Anytime.
By the studio.
Thank you to the great audience of Chicago for helping me out with the food choices. I love you all. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, Adam the Bull, 92.3 The Fan, CBS Sports Radio. Little Cavs and little Warriors. We'll follow up on some of that coming right back. 720 WGN. Text line 312 says, Adam, hope your dad is still here. Carm, you're your own father. You seem very independent that way. I'm the same. To the guys who buck up, remain calm, and do God's great work, here's to the dads. That's absolutely right. Happy Father's Day. And I do have a father. He's 90 years old, and it's Fred Carman. I'll be having dinner with him this evening. What are you doing for Richard Hogue?
Well, right now he's over at my house trying to hold the Hogue family together. So we've had some... The plague hit the Hogue family, which is why I'm back for my vacation and here today. Fortunately, I have not been infected.
That's good.
But he's holding down the house, and then I think he's going to actually stay over tonight, and we'll try to have some fun tomorrow on Father's Day. Watch a little golf, watch a little NBA.
Oh, yeah, a little U.S. Open.
How's that going?
I played... talking to a guy this morning, he asked me, what do you do? And I'm like, well, I'm in media, I do radio at WGN. Oh, when are you on? Oh, I'm on today. Oh, you're talking about the Open? No. No, I'm not.
By the way, before we get out of here, I got to tell you what I'm doing next weekend.
All right.
It's like a golf marathon.
We'll do that coming up, and we'll also talk about the dumbest person on the planet, at least this week, coming back after the 4:30 news on 720 WGN. WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. I'm Mark Carman. He is Adam.
Is it Hogue. Saturday? I'm so confused. After the last 48 hours, I thought today was Monday already.
Today is Saturday. I can confirm that.
Which I should know because we don't do this show on Mondays.
We don't. If this was Monday, Rokan would be here. You're in Anna DeVellante seat, and I'm sitting where Rokan sits.
Okay.
That's what goes on at 4:36 on Mondays. It's Saturday.
It's definitely Saturday.
Yeah.
You're stuck with us.
It was earlier this week that Ayesha Curry, who is the wife of Steph Curry, who is her own personality and does cooking shows. And
I once cooked one of her recipes.
Did you really? What'd you make?
It was a crepe recipe.
You made a crepe from Ayesha Curry?
I made a crepe.
Okay, so...
It was good.
I bet it was. I bet it was. I love when people get outside of themselves in a moment and absolutely cannot see the forest of the trees, where her husband gets kicked out of Game 6.
It's on Thursday night.
On Thursday night, and Ayesha Curry tweets and then deletes the tweet, but once you tweet it... You tweeted it. There's screenshots and you're done. People realize when you tweet now and you say something stupid that there's a good chance that you're going to delete the tweet, and they instantly screenshot you and that's it.
What's laid's been played.
Right.
Sorry.
The tweet was, I've lost all respect. Sorry. This is absolutely rigged for money or ratings. in not sure which, doesn't matter. I'm not sure which. I won't be sorry. I won't be silent. Just saw it live. Sorry. Okay. That was Ayesha Curry.
So here's a tip. If you have to say sorry in your tweet, like if you're apologizing before you even press send, you might want to just delete it and not even, like, delete it before you tweet it.
Delete before you tweet.
That's something to delete before you tweet.
I mean, you,
that's just something, the little bit of wisdom here from the beat.
You should think the risk of sending this is what? The reward would be I feel good for 3 seconds before the entire world just completely crushes me. I mean, that's really, okay, I'm going to feel really good when I just put that out there. Like, some people are going to agree with me. They're going to scream, you're right. The NBA is rigged. Here's my problem with it. The NBA is rigged? Ayesha, if there was no NBA, and let's say that it was rigged, just for your argument, the NBA is rigged. Okay. People wouldn't watch the NBA anymore. It would turn into some carnival wrestling act that like 7 people would be left playing basketball. And your husband makes a boatload of dollars because he plays in the NBA. Your lifestyle has been created by the NBA. Why in the world would you ever attack a league, which, by the way, you came back from, the Warriors came back from 3-1 down and Draymond Green wasn't suspended in the Western Conference Finals.
Right, was that rigged?
Was that rigged?
Is your husband's career rigged?
Right.
Because he's the MVP of that rigged league.
Yeah. I mean,
was that rigged?
Yeah. What are you doing? And by the way, the other side of it too is like,
it's not rigged.
It's not.
It's just not rigged.
I mean, come on. Do you think that they actually can make the ball go in the basket? What you should be tweeting, I don't know what the hell my dumb gentlemanly husband is doing guarding LeBron James 85 feet away from the hoop and basically tackling him
with 5 fouls.
When he's got 5 fouls and you're down 12 with 4 minutes to go and you have no leeway. What are you doing? And you could have tweeted out after that. And by the way, I hope he doesn't get suspended because some people are going to call for that too. I mean, it's unbelievable how people just do not see themselves.
And she was caught up in the moment. And
I mean, she's not a bad person. That's fine.
There's just so many things. Like from Steph launching his mouth guard
right
into a dude's face, who I guess happened to be the son of a Cavs minority owner.
Young Andrew Forbes.
Then you got his wife tweeting this stuff from the stands, right? She was at the game, right?
I'm not sure. I think she was at home.
Oh, okay. No, I thought, because didn't she tweet a bunch of other stuff about how...
No, yeah, she absolutely was. Of course she was.
She was tweeting about how, like, they wouldn't let her in or her father or something.
She said that her father was racially profiled. He had a credential. And she maintained that her father was racially profiled. And the real story around that was there was a guy who had a fake credential, who was a man of color, so they were looking for the guy.
That's dicey.
I understand what goes on in the world is what I'm trying to say. The likelihood that your father was racially profiled at an NBA basketball game with a credential on is very unlikely, okay? There's plenty of black people at NBA games settle down. End of the day, that did not happen. Or if it happened, there was a lot of circumstance around it. And
I guess we don't know if it happened or not. But we do know is the NBA is not rigged.
Right, and we also know that the NBA provides you an incredible life. So attacking the people that feed you.
Delete before you tweet.
Delete before you tweet at Ayesha Curry, 312-981-7200. If you'd like to admit to stupid tweets that you put out there, because everybody's had an Ayesha Curry. What's this? I know you've had the moment.
What's the stupidest tweet I've had?
Yes.
Well, I wrote a whole column about how I was wrong about the White Sox.
Well, that was a... That does not count.
That's different. That's more than 140 characters.
That doesn't count.
No, I know what you're getting at.
I mean, I put out one. It's just sometimes you just don't want to put yourself in the crosshairs of the people on Twitter, as much as I love Twitter. And I put out when Schwarber crashed into Dexter Fowler that's the risk that you take playing a guy in the outfield who...
Did you delete that?
No, I didn't delete it. I left it out there, but people were so angry. I'm like, you're missing the point. Of course, I get that it was a worthwhile risk. Where else is he going to play? But that's the chance. It could happen that a guy who hasn't played a whole lot of outfield is just going to run with his head down and crack into someone and blow out his knee. Fortunately, the Cubs are the greatest team that's ever played baseball, and they don't need Kyle Schwarber, which is incredible. But like, if I could have that tweet back, I'd take it back because I was getting screamed at by everyone. It's like, you can't explain yourself on Twitter.
No, you can't.
I mean, there's just no doing it.
There's not enough characters.
Right.
I'm trying to think. I'm sure I've done. I'm sure I have like 100 tweets that I'd like to have back, but nothing's popping to mind right now.
The NBA is rigged. I mean, my God.
I did have one. Speaking of our guy, Kyle Long. Have I told you the story that he called me out in the locker room after the Bears beat the Chargers last year in San Diego?
I think I remember this story.
Because I tweeted before the game. I'm sure you could find it. I didn't delete it. Tonight's a battle between two teams to find out who's worse or something like that.
Okay.
Who's worse at football. Because both teams were coming in and they were hurting.
He didn't like that?
Well, I tweeted this before the game, and apparently Kyle was on Twitter before the game, saw it, and so when the Bears get that nice win, it was a nice win, after the game, he sees me, he goes, so did you find out which team was the worst?
Oof.
Like, call me out in front of everybody. And you know what, though? I deserved it.
I suppose.
No, I deserved it.
For what? I don't think it's that bad. They're two terrible teams.
Yeah, but the way I worded it, the way I'm saying it right now is not how it was worded, and it was kind of snarky.
Okay.
It was a snarky tweet. And you know what? I like that. I mean, if I do something like that, I should be held accountable for it. And he called me out, and I told him right there, I'm like, good for you, man, calling me out. You guys played great. I deserve it. That's how it should be. And then we can go back to our, you know, there doesn't have to be just too many times where people get so sensitive. Where, including media members too, by the way.
Of course.
Where they just like shut you out. They shut a player out, a player shuts a reporter out. And it's like, it doesn't have to be, you know, it's just sports.
Nobody's sensitive.
Unless you're like attacking a dude's like credibility or.
Right, if you're getting personal.
Both ways.
If you're getting
really personal.
Right.
Right.
There's nobody on that beat that's sensitive. All the Bears reporters are very, very. Very easygoing. The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their Family Medicine Clinic, Speech-Language Institute, Physical Therapy Institute, Dental Institute, and Eye Institute. At their clinics, you will receive quality care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at MWUClinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for healthcare. Hogue headlines coming up at 5 o'clock. I got a couple more NBA thoughts of who's winning tomorrow night. Are you watching? Are you into it? Are you excited? 312-981-7200. Wondering if there's any basketball buzz whatsoever in this city. 312-981-7200.
People keep walking by with ice cream.
You want ice cream?
It's bothering me. Is there like an ice cream guy nearby?
Adam Hogue, now 5. You want me to run to Walgreens for you?
No, I think there's got to be a guy out here. Cause it's all
I could see him. He's right down kind of by Pioneer Court, closer to Wacker Drive.
All
right. I could see the truck.
Okay. You know, there's a vending machine right around the corner that has ice cream.
Am I going to support the vending machine or the guy who's trying to make a living down here trying to sell some ice cream?
Okay, hey, listen. Go run out and get yourself some ice cream.
Ooh. All right.
720 WGN.
Oh, that is a first for me, man.
That was the best moment in the show's history. We're in this glass encased All-State Showcase studio on
Michigan. It's kind of like a zoo.
Right. And so a gentleman just walked up to the window to look at us, and he sort of looked like a combination of Woody Allen and who else would you say? Who's the guy from he looked like Flanders from
Yeah.
And he walked smack dab right into the glass. Just smacked his head.
I think he misjudged how close the glass was. I don't know how you do that, but he was trying to because with the glare and the light sometimes, it's actually hard to see in here a little bit. And I think he was trying to get his face as close to the glass as possible so he could glare in or block out the glare. And he whacked his face right into the glass.
I mean, it was a significant thump.
I heard it. I wasn't...
I am officially tweeting this out from At The Carm right now. Please follow me on Twitter.
At The Carm. This is a picture of the dude.
Let's see the tweet. This man just checked out the show and didn't realize there was glass between us.
That was great.
This is, oh boy.
He's okay, by the way. Otherwise, we'll be laughing.
This was after. So he's fine.
He was very excited to see us, too.
Oh, is he thrilled?
Hey, so next weekend, I'm not going to be here. You're not going to be here either. But here's what I'm doing as I try to get some vacation in the next month. For us football reporters.
Yes.
This next month is like our summer vacation.
Well, a lot of radio people take time off in the summer because it's the quietest time before the Cubs go in and win the World Series in October.
Right. But on top of that, I mean, I cram in all my vacation before training camp because once Bears training camp starts, the year is over. But so I'm going on a golf trip next weekend,
mm-hmm.
which I've never done before. But I'm going with some buddies to Devil's Head. They have two courses, Carm, and we're playing on each course 3 days in a row. So two rounds of golf, 3 days in a row.
That's
36 holes of golf.
See, I would say that's excessive, but like when I go on my favorite vacations, which are tennis vacations, and I'm on the court 5 hours a day. There's a 3 hour clinic in
but
the morning.
But like one round of golf can be 5 hours.
Yeah.
Like we're gonna be out there it's 9-10 hours.
Are you walking or riding?
Oh, riding.
Right. So you're riding, you're drinking, you're good. I mean, it's a lot.
But I think I'm going to have blisters all over my hand probably by the end of day two.
You might. But that's, you know, it's going to be great. Who's all going?
It's mostly buddies.
You have friends?
From high school. Yeah, a couple. It's like two of my friends and all their friends.
Yeah, No,
it's like my best man at my wedding, his brother, his father, they go, and this is sort of evolved into a bunch of us tagging along too, and now it's like a group of 12 dudes.
It's gonna be a great time.
Fun.
Yeah, you're gonna have an awesome
time.
And
it's all included, like the meals are included.
You ever been to Alpine Valley? They do
for concerts.
Yeah, they did. They had a nice, like old school, very affordable little golf vacation. Just to throw that out there for you as a possibility.
Well, we already booked this.
I know. There's other trips in the future. I'm just putting it out there for you. I know you're going to the Devil's Head. That's awesome. I've never been. I'm jealous. You're gonna have a great time. I will be missing you.
Well, you're not going to be here either.
No, I know, but I
we'll miss each other.
That's right.
And no, we do not know who's doing the shows next week, but we promise that it'll be
scintillating.
It'll probably be more informative and than we are.
Shows will be way better. Let me get a couple, just one more NBA thought out there for you, if I may.
I still can't believe that guy walked into the glass.
Oh, it's so good. At Bob's Hannigan, really enjoyed that on Twitter. I see you, Dennis. I doubt you're listening, but thank you for.
You gotta check out the photo.
Yeah. Okay.
At the car.
Yes. So, LeBron James was brutal in the Dallas series. One time the Cavs were favored and they lost. He's always forever going to get crushed for that. But let me just say this: LeBron James is in his sixth straight final. Okay. Just for a second. Are you laughing at Twitter?
I'm sorry. I looked at the photo. I'm focused. I'm focusing on you now.
Oh, okay.
My bad.
Okay.
My bad.
Okay.
Dude, this is a big moment. You're defending LeBron.
I am. It's game 7 tomorrow night. Okay? He's been in 6th straight finals, which means that over the last 6 years in the NBA, he's played every basketball game there's ever been. Right? He's played the...
That's true.
Think about that durability. He's never been hurt. six straight years in six finals with a, I mean, a big dude who puts
right, think about, and it's a different sport, but think about how much, you know, we talk about with the Blackhawks. Like, oh, they played in the mid-June. Now, it's a different sport, and it's probably not as much of a grind as hockey is, but that's still really impressive to do that 6 years in a row.
And think about what's being put on this guy. Go grab all the rebounds. Go initiate the offense. Go score the basketball. Go guard the best player.
Go do everything.
Go do everything.
And play every minute, basically.
And play every single minute, basically. It's incredible. So one of the things that has helped him in this series, clearly, his worst game was game two. That was one of the only games where there was only one game in between games. But the NBA, you know, they're always trying to, you want to talk about conspiracy? They do try to schedule their games when the most people will be watching them. So
I guess I can't blame them for that. Although I have told you this. I think it
drags it out too much.
To me, who I consider myself the very casual NBA fan, I want there to be a game tonight. Like, I enjoyed game six the other night. But I get it Sunday night.
Right. Listen, I wish there was a game tonight too. But the point that I'm making is that there's been two days off between every single game for the most part, and it's enormously benefiting LeBron. The guy's played so much, and there's so much on him, and he's going to go out tomorrow night and play 45, 46, 47, 48 minutes. He needs the rest more than anyone, and he's getting it. So it's actually benefiting him.
Can we talk about the real issue here, though?
Sure.
Your Twitter avatar is extremely creepy.
I do have to change it.
You need to change
it. I'm doing it right now.
Like, I want to unfollow you just because you're looking at me
funny.
You're right. Like, the picture, you're just, I don't like how you're looking at me.
I mean, I thought it was funny at the time.
Well, it was, but I think you've had that picture for like 2 years.
Yeah, no, it's got to go. That was when I was on, yeah, no, it's going right now. I'm taking your suggestion. I absolutely am. Thank you very much. I really, really, really appreciate it.
What is your background, too?
I was at the United
Scrabble?
Center. I was on set with for sports.
No. The thing at the top, the header.
Oh.
It's like Scrabble pieces.
Yeah. It said JOB. That was when I was that was when I was looking for a job. I can move that too, because I actually am employed now. Thank God.
I see JOB.
Yeah. So I was letting people know.
I thought you're just a big fan of Job, Book of Job.
Yes. Well, then so you can take whatever you want. It was more at the time. I need a job. I can move that too. I'll do that too. It's on the to-do list. More importantly, Hoag headlines.
They're okay this week. I'm always on. Last week they were awesome. They're okay this week.
The Hoag headlines that are coming up are phenomenal.
They're eh.
Okay, well then I'm going to do something to make them better in this timeout. We're going to find some better ones in the next 5 minutes. 720 WGN.
That's good.
Did you like your ice cream?
I got my ice cream sandwich. You wanted me to go to a vending machine.
I think I just got overcharged by the ice cream guy.
How much did you pay?
$6.
For an ice cream sandwich, and what did...
I got Dan Long a toasted almond. I feel like the guy... I think an ice cream sandwich normally is $2. I think the guy's going premium Michigan Avenue prices on a Saturday afternoon.
Well, this is the day to jack up prices. It's hot out. You're in the prime of Chicago right here.
You ever seen the movie Midnight Express?
No.
It's about a dude smuggling hash from Turkey. I feel like I just bought ice cream for anybody who gets this reference from Rivke. Who is one of the great... Please, I'd love a text of somebody who knows Rivke, 312-981-7200. Time for Hoag's Headlines.
It is time for Hoag's Headlines. I'm feeling good about them now. I got my ice cream. This was a tough week in general. Like, I legit struggled this week watching the news and just, you know, reflecting on life and all the stuff that's going on. Obviously, with what happened in Orlando last weekend, and we did 3 hours on it last Sunday. This was really cool to see, though. In Tampa, the Rays had a Pride Night.
Okay.
To in response to what happened.
It's awesome.
This was sort of all on the fly. The Rays dedicated last night's Pride Night in St. Petersburg to victims and survivors of the Pulse shooting in Orlando. And the team's pledge to donate all of the proceeds to charity resulted in a paid attendance of 40,135.
Wow.
I don't know if you see crowds in Tampa. they're lucky if they get 4,135. They got 40,135 people. This is the most to attend a regular season Rays game since the 2006 home opener.
That's incredible.
That's a decade ago.
That's awesome. That's super awesome. And, you know, we got the Pride Parade next Sunday in Chicago, and 90 people from WGN will be out there as we have our float and whatnot. So, super. I'll be out of town, unfortunately, but we're going to have huge, huge station presence at the Pride Parade here, and that's an awesome story from Tampa.
It is. And the Rays say more than 300,000 will be donated to the Pulse's Victims Fund as a result of the event, and they wore Orlando Rays hats.
Mm-hmm. That's cool, too.
A solidarity to Orlando, and those hats will be auctioned off for charity. So a real cool story from Tampa there.
Can we all just get along, 99.9% of us? That's all we want. So that's cool, man.
I've been thinking a lot about that all week, and I hope a lot of people are, and I think it's cool that the timing, it's Pride Week and this is all going on. It's a real...
Yeah, and...
There's going to be a lot of good... As awful as last weekend was and will continue to be as we think about it, there's going to be a lot of cool moments, I think, in the next week or so everywhere as everyone comes together and really, I think, supports what you're saying. Treat each other better, equality, and...
Right.
And that race thing is just the start of it.
Right.
Meanwhile, in Brazil,
Rio,
it's not going well. The Olympics. This is from Deadspin. Rio de Janeiro's state government is declaring a state of public calamity and says extreme measures must be taken or this summer's Olympics won't happen. The statement calls for immediate emergency actions that must be taken to prevent a total collapse in public safety, health, education, transport, and environmental management. Brazil's government is a disaster, with most top federal officials are under investigation for corruption and the economy a wreck due to low oil prices, leaving it in essentially no condition to safely conduct an event that will bring an estimated 500,000 people to Rio. The city's atrocious sanitary conditions threaten to expose athletes and spectators to deadly antibiotics-resistant superbacteria as well.
Well, it's just too bad, bottom line. And the Olympics are not life or death, but these guys have trained and women have trained for 4-plus years to be ready for this moment. They've trained their whole lives to be ready for this moment, and now you've got to face the Zika virus and a million other things that can possibly go wrong down in Rio. And you know, there was a time when Chicago was bidding on the same Olympics, which I'm glad we didn't get them because I'm sure we would have lost money on the deal, and I'm sure that we have no money, and I'm sure that the state still doesn't have a budget. But, you know, when you're – it's just, you know, dollars obviously won out in this decision, and Brazil and Rio are obviously in no shape to host the Olympics. You can't fix what's going on.
No, you can't. But a good point brought up by Timothy Burke, who wrote this piece for Deadspin.
Right.
He says, of course, we hear this every Olympiad. Athens was a wreck. Beijing was a mess. Sochi was completely unfinished until the opening ceremony kicked off when suddenly whatever needed to be done was done. It wouldn't be cynical to expect the same come August, but no host country has ever been in such a dire financial and leadership straits as Brazil is right now.
Well, I hope that happens. I hope that this will be all thrown together as best they can, and it'll work out, and it'll go off smooth. But, you know, you mentioned, like, if you go back to Sochi and what that looks like now, you got, you know, just decrepit stadiums, and, I mean, the Olympics leaves a pretty large wake after it comes washing, running on through, so, yeah.
Waco, Texas is really giving the state of Pennsylvania a run for its money in terms of just ridiculousness and an awful rape scandal. But Baylor University was actually, at one point this week, voting on a one-year suspension for Art Briles.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
It's just crazy. But in the end, Baylor settled, reached a settlement with former head coach Art Briles, according to a school regent, a move that heads off Briles' potential wrongful termination suit that would have exposed thousands of internal records about the college's investigation of its handling of sexual assault cases. This was something, I mean, frankly, those should still become public anyway, but that's not how it works. Briles on Thursday lashed out at his former employer, claiming he was just the fall guy. as camouflage to disguise and distract from its own institutional failure to comply with Title IX and other federal civil rights laws. And he filed a motion to no longer be represented by Baylor's lawyers in a Title IX lawsuit brought by a sexual assault victim. A day later, he withdrew that motion. Briles would have been owed $40 million on his contract were he not found to have been fired with cause. There was a major push by wealthy Baylor donors to restore Briles to his job, and one school regent says he received hate mail over the move.
Not the same, but a lot of stories around. It's not like Art Briles is the only, Joe Paterno is the only. Not the same, I'm saying it. But
some of these donors, though, live in a world that is just not Earth.
No, it's you're right.
And it's every school. It's every school.
Talk about lack of vision, lack of priorities. I never even understand the booster donor thing. Like, I know you like watching your team win and all, but like, being a seedy dude handing money to athletes so your school can win football games, how could you ever even be that person?
Well, every school is good donors, every school is bad donors.
Right, well, listen.
Here's a story of good donors. Ready for this one?
Go Northwestern?
Yes. Welsh Ryan Arena, the home of Northwestern University's basketball, volleyball, wrestling teams, getting a major renovation based on the early pictures that they sent out. It's going to be cool. It's going to be cool. It's going to begin at the conclusion of this basketball season coming up. March 2017 will be the start, and it should be done by the fall of 2018. This is a gift from Patrick G. and Shirley W. Ryan. Of course, the Ryan name all over Northwestern, along with a $10 million gift from Stephen R. and Susan K. Wilson. Donations from other loyal Northwestern benefactors and the existing athletics maintenance and equipment budget will fund the $110-plus million project. It's going to be really cool.
Well, and as a season ticket holder to Northwestern basketball, I'd like to send an APB out to Dr. Jim Phillips, and I'm requesting center court in the new facility. Two seats, preferably on the aisle, but if they have to be in the middle of the row, that's cool. And if they have to be on the baseline, that's cool. But I'd like to move from behind the bucket to actually on the court. Can I get that done?
Well, how much money did you contribute towards this arena?
$0 and 0 cents. But I'm a great fan, and I think that's got to be understood. Nobody brings more passion to Northwestern hoop than myself outside of Dr. Jim.
Well, and you know what I love about Jim is he really gets it.
He does.
Like he was all about winning, but also, I mean, the fans, this needed to be done.
It did.
It really needed to be done. And just looking at the list of upgrades to Welsh Ryan Arena, new seating throughout the arena with chair back seats replacing the existing wood bleachers. No one likes those wood bleachers. Let's be honest.
Nope.
Anywhere. I'm not just saying.
Nope, like, it's brutal. I love Welsh Ryan right now. Old high school gym, the whole thing.
But it sounds like they're going to keep that atmosphere.
Right.
It's going to be newer. It's going to be brighter. But they're actually going to have less seats. It's going to remain intimate. And if they start winning basketball games, which, by the way, this should help them win, too, because recruits are going to be able to walk into this nice brand new facility and see how cool it is.
Right. They're not going to.
It's going to be a cool atmosphere.
It is. And there's 1 year they're going to have to play out. So I'm wondering where that is going to be. I like the Gentile Center. If Loyola would like to, where are they going to go?
That place pretty small.
Yeah, that's cool. The last time they played out for a year was 82-83 when McGall Hall was being turned into Welsh Ryan, and they played on DePaul's campus. I'd play there. Give me a 3,000 seat stadium and make it all purple. I think that'd be cool.
Quickly, I was also going to mention that Notre Dame's Corey Robinson retired this week because of head injuries.
All right. And after this quick timeout, I will have the one Carm headline.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. He's a beauty of a man.
We're getting a lot of ice cream texts, too.
Yeah, people love the ice cream. Dan, did you have your...
I did, yeah.
How was it?
Delicious.
Yeah. Toasted almond.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. Monday on WGN-TV Morning News, Dean Richards reviews the Broadway-bound SpongeBob musical premiering in Chicago on WGN-TV Morning News, Chicago's must-watch morning news. Hogue Headlines has come to its conclusion. I've got one headline from maybe baseball's greatest hitter ever attacking the Chicago National League Ball Club.
720 WGN.
Little Tom Petty for your Saturday afternoon. All right, somebody get Pete Rose on the line, Dan Long. I want to just throw shade at...
Actually, I'm not that interested in talking to him.
Pete Rose, who bet on baseball, lied, cheat, steal, all that, still should be in the Hall of Fame. That's fine. But he absolutely hates the Chicago Cubs. I don't really know why. He was asked whether or not he was rooting for the Cubs to end their streak, and this was the Pete quote, which has been removed from the Fox Sports website, the actual audio. No, I'm not rooting for the Cubs. The Cubs got a good ball club. I don't know who I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for a team that isn't going to make the World Series, the Reds. That's my hometown. I don't get off their bandwagon because they're not playing well, although right now, last 2 weeks or so, they haven't been playing well. Okay, fine. The Cubs right now, no question, have the best team, but I can't root for a team that hasn't won since 1907. 1908, you bozo, but okay, that's fine. Cubs will find a way to screw it up, I think. They've got a good ball club, probably the best ball club in the league right now. They're playing like it, but again, they can be pitched to, their pitchers can be hit. It's just a matter of who's going to give them a fight at the end of the season in the playoffs. I mean, there's YouTube videos of Pete Rose just really just despising the Chicago
Cubs.
Why
has the audio been deleted?
I don't know.
Because he works for Fox and he wanted it deleted?
I'm not exactly sure why. But, I mean, I searched all over for it today, and Dan Long's searching for it now, but I couldn't find it.
Hey, I don't mean to just totally take you off your subject.
Uh-oh.
But
yeah?
Do you want to take a guess on how many runs James Shields has already given up?
And
let me tell you, there are no outs in the first inning.
There's nobody out in the first.
Bottom first, nobody out.
So you're giving up three?
More.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious.
Is he giving up six?
He's giving up four.
He's giving up four runs.
Four runs, nobody out, first inning. Like, this looks like the worst. Maybe not just the worst trade in White Sox history. Maybe the worst trade of all time.
Well, they gave up Eric Johnson and Fernando Tatis Jr.
Even with that in mind, that's how bad this trade is. And I'm being a little hyperbolic here, but
not really. I mean, hold on a second. So I want to do the math on what his ERA is right now. Dan, are you good at math?
By the way, Richard Hogue is supplying me with some information here via text. He has thrown 12 pitches, four runs, four runs on 12 pitches.
Yeah, our 3 1/3 guy is looking decent here.
Yeah, I think Tony in Glenview is lining up for a nice Lou Malnati's gift card.
But home Mr. Optimistic.
Best deep pizza.
But we said you can't go over. So, is he going to make it out of the first? Well, hang on a second. Let's go play-by-play of this.
Oh, yeah. We might not have a winner.
Yeah.
Like, someone should have called in and said, well, I'll take zero innings.
All right.
And they would have automatically won, maybe.
Zero innings would have been a great bet. Santana walked, Kipnis doubled to left, so second and third, nobody out. Linder singled, two runs in on that, a one-run score, first and third, and then a three-run homer.
He went walk, hit, 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 hit.
Three-run bomb.
And a hit after that, though, right?
I'm
confused.
Yeah, and then another hit, too. Yeah, then a double.
So it goes walk, hit, hit, three-run bomb, hit.
Double. Gives up, hang on a second. He gave up a three-run homer to Mike Napoli, who's hitting .232. Does have 15 bombs, fine. He gave up a double to Jose Ramirez. Oof.
Here we go.
James Shields is going to get Robin Ventura fired.
Carlos Santana walks. Jason Kipnis doubles. Lindor singles on a ground ball. Mike Napoli homers, Jose Ramirez doubles. Oh, wait, we have a game advisory. This is according to MLB.com. There's a coaching visit to the mound at that point.
James Shields' ERA with the White Sox now is 21.86.
Oh, Juan Uribe strikes out swinging.
So if you move that a
decimal
point over, it'd only be 2.19 if you round up the 8.6. So that's good. James Shields was like, I mean, he was big game James.
He is – well, he's not playing in any big games right now.
He's only throwing 20 pitches, though, so his pitch count is remotely –
well, that's what he did the other night. He somehow managed to go six.
Yeah, so his pitch count's actually kind of down.
I like his strategy. Just get hammered early, then eat some innings, and then the White Sox will score 10 runs for you. They won't score any for Jose Quintana, but James Shields will get 10.
Wow. We'll keep you updated on that. Chris Heim, the Chicago Tribune, is going to be with us after the 5:30 news. We'll talk about the Teuvo Teravainen trade and Brian Bickle, too. Blackhawks with a surprising move earlier in the week. News in 1 minute and 30 seconds on 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
720 WGN indeed. Some notables missing the cut at the U.S. Open. Rory McIlroy, Phil Mickelson, Ricky Fowler. No. As we'll give you... See, we're on top of everything here. Damn it. Dinwiddie.
You were the one who said you weren't going to talk golf.
Well, I didn't realize that those guys were going to miss the cut, so those worth a mention. We have not talked a lot of Blackhawks to this point. You okay over there, by the way?
I think it's hilarious at this point.
Which part?
The James Shields has given up 12 runs in his last three starts in the first inning.
That's amazing. That's
I think it's more than that, isn't it?
I total it up. I don't know. Chris Hine does great work for the Chicago Tribune, friend of the program covering the Chicago Blackhawks. Good afternoon, Chris. How are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
We miss you in the summertime, Chris. Just know that.
Well, anytime you want to have me on to talk, you know, anything, Carole King, hockey, it doesn't matter. I'll come on.
Are you still going to the Olympics?
I am, yes. You know, every day it seems like that situation gets a little worse and worse. And, you know, but I'm still going. I still got my plane ticket. I still got my hotel. Still got my credential. I'm still going. You know, whether or not other people are going remains to be seen, but I'm going.
Well, I guess you got a job to do, and it's going to be interesting, though. All right, Chris, so interesting week for the Blackhawks. I think you probably expected some movement to be coming at some point. We knew the Hawks were going to be up against the cap again, but what was your reaction to them finding a way to get out of Bickle's contract, but it costing them Teravainen as well?
I'm not surprised that they traded Bickle this offseason. I think, you know, this past year they were able to get by with him still on the roster and still carrying that cap hit. But, you know, with this year, with Artemi Panarin getting $2.5 million or so in bonuses and Andrew Shaw needing to be re-signed, I'm not surprised that they moved on from Bickle this offseason. What I was surprised at was that it cost them Teravainen in the process. I thought they might be able to get away with giving up prospects or, you know, prospect in a draft pick or whatever the cost would have been. But I am surprised that Teravainen was ultimately the price that they chose to pay to unload Brian Bickle.
Chris, do you think it's fair to say that Joel Quenneville felt that Teravainen may turn out to be, you know, a decent level player, but he doesn't see superstarness for him, and henceforth, hey, yes, please, we're not going to use him in any defined role, and if you can move him and clear up cap space for Andrew Shaw, that would be ideal. I mean, is this more of a cue move than a stand move?
I'm not sure. You know, I've heard that thrown around a lot the last couple of days that Q wanted Shaw over Teravainen, and maybe there probably is truth to that. However, I don't think Quenneville was willing to give up on Teravainen. I think he valued Teravainen and the versatility that he brought to the team. You know, he played all around, you know, the top lines, the bottom lines. He was a left wing, he was a right wing, he was a center. You know, and the organization last March, you know, they made some of those trades to get like Dale Weiss and Tomas Fleischmann. They made those trades so that they could have people to play with Teuvo Teravainen on a third line. That was the reason why they made some of those trades. So I'm not completely sold that this was a Joel Quenneville power play, so to speak. I really think the organization thought highly of Teuvo, but what I do think played into their decision was the fact that this is the last year of his of his first contract. He's due for a significant raise after this year. But the Hawks also have to sign Panarin long-term, and they're going to have to pay him a lot of money. And I think what the Hawks are saying here is that they're prioritizing signing Panarin over Teravainen, because Panarin is the kind of scorer that you don't see come along every day in the NHL. You know, Teravainen has that potential to be a scorer, but Panarin, as you showed last year, is kind of already there in terms of being able to score a significant number of goals and assists on an NHL team.
Well, and it's hard to fault that logic. I mean, Panarin has been phenomenal so far. Look, this wouldn't be the first time that the Hawks have to trade away a player and watch them develop and look pretty decent on another roster. This is the NHL, and this is the way that they do things with their salary cap to try to keep parity in the league. I imagine that the Blackhawks have to be frustrated at times with the rules, but the rules are the rules. Do you think, Chris, that this is a good thing for hockey?
I do. You know, I think it keeps other teams competitive, and especially in a league where, you know, if you have smaller market hockey towns like a Raleigh, North Carolina, who, you know, they need the team to be good if they're going to survive. You know, hockey is unlike maybe the other pro sports in that way, where you kind of need the small market teams to be good to drum up interest in the community. Otherwise, people aren't going to show up. So I do think it's a good thing. I like the hard salary cap. I like that it's not like the NBA where there are workarounds and exceptions and mid-level exceptions and, you know, what have you. I do think it's a good thing. I'm a fan of parity. I know that, you know, we're in Chicago and everybody would have liked to have kept, some of these cup teams together, but I think overall it is good for the league.
So, okay, they've lost Tavo, they've lost Nick Leddy, they've lost Brandon Saad, Mark Dano. They win in the cup next year there, Chris? That's what I'm getting to here. It hasn't mattered in the past. I mean, I guess maybe a better question is, I mean, how good do you think the Tavo is going to go on to be? He played one full season with the Blackhawks, and he's going to get he's going to get a huge opportunity in Carolina. I mean, they need help. So
I am more bullish on Teravainen than I think a lot of people were. I think, you know, people around here didn't see his goal production or his point production, you know, right away. But I point to the fact that it was his first NHL season. He's only 21 years old. Panarin is 24. Panarin's a little more developed, a little more seasoned. Yes, this was his first full season in the NHL too, but he is a little older, and I do think that counts for something. I think Teravainen is going to be a really good player. I could see him being a 25-30 goal scorer, being a guy that centers a top line for them. And they're a really young team out there in Carolina, so he's going to have a lot of young players to figure out who to mesh with. He's going to be given time, you know, to gel with some people. He wasn't always given the time to gel with line mates here in Chicago. So I really think he's got a lot of potential. And, you know, I think people that were disappointed in his play this year or that were calling for him to be traded at the deadline this year, I think they're a little short-sighted.
Chris Hine from Chicago Tribune joining us here for another couple minutes as we talk some off-season hockey. What's next for the Blackhawks here in the next month or so?
Well, at the draft, Andrew Shaw's agent, Pat Brisson, is going to meet with the Blackhawks, and they're going to talk about extending his contract or re-signing Andrew Shaw. So that's next on the agenda next weekend in Buffalo, so stay tuned on that front. Free agency starts short time after that. Look to see an extension for Artemi Panarin. I think that's high on the Blackhawks' list of priorities. And we'll see what happens with the defensive situation here. I think they would still like to get a top four defenseman somehow, some way. With the cap space, we have to find out how much the cap is going to be next year. All indications seem to be that the players' union is going to impose a 5% escalator clause, so the cap should be going up, which is good news for the Blackhawks and good news for the rest of the league that's cap strapped. But I'd say watch out for the Shaw contract, Panarin extension, and what do they do to rectify their defensive woes going forward?
Yeah, that does seem like the to-do list. And it sounds like you're confident they're going to have both Andrew Shaw in the fold and Artemi Panarin long-term. Is that fair?
That's my thinking, yes. Yeah, I do think they'll find a way to get both of those guys signed to long-term deals. Now, just how long, I'm not sure, and for how much, we'll see, but I do think they're going to get both of them re-signed, yes.
We got a one of your fans is dialing and wants to ask you a hockey question here, Chris. Justin, you're on 720 WGN with Chris Hine of the Chicago Tribune. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Love the show.
Thanks, Justin.
No specific question, yeah. I mean, I just wanted to call in and kind of get my two cents, you know. As far as Bowman goes and our scouting team, I said to the gentleman who took the call, you know, this has been the best we've had in the last 15, 20 years, if not longer, you know. So you definitely can't knock the moves that they're making until you kind of see the results. But as far as Teravainen, I think I think that's a good move, you know, keeping people like trying to attempt at, Andrew Shaw and Panarin and stuff like that, your guys that are making more plays, I feel, than Teravainen. I mean, obviously you're going to have a couple different opinions here and there. But as far as like our prospects and stuff like that, I mean, we're planning ahead for championships every season for the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. So,
yep. Hey, Justin, appreciate the phone call. I mean, you're saying, I think, you know, Chris, what a lot of Blackhawks fans feel, which is they have complete confidence in what management does all the time. Right? I mean, that's what I'm hearing.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the pipeline's not dry. I do think, you know, when it comes to Andrew Shaw versus Teuvo Teravainen, I think you looked at the two of them and you say, okay, we know what we have in Andrew Shaw. You know what he's going to give you at this point in his career. He's going to be a guy that's going to score 15 to 20 goals. He's going to be a versatile guy. He can play defensively. He can play a wing. He can play a center. Now, all those things Teravainen can do, you just don't know about the scoring potential with Teravainen right now, and you don't know where that potential is going to lead. So it's almost like a case of floor versus ceiling, so to speak. It's like you know Andrew Shaw is a known quantity. Teuvo Teravainen is not a known quantity right now, and I think that that's what they're looking at when it comes to prioritizing the two of them.
Makes sense to me, Chris. Appreciate you jumping on with us.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
Chris, you have yourself a very safe trip to Rio. If you have any problems down there, you call us. We'll get on the first jet. We'll come and rescue you. If you pick up the Zika virus, God forbid, or anything like that, we will get you back to safety, my friend.
I appreciate that. Hopefully it doesn't come to that.
Yes, we are, absolutely. All right.
I feel like Chris is equipped for public calamity.
You
have more confidence in that than I do, I'll say that.
We're sending you down into public calamity. There is a... Wow.
Good luck.
I wish I was going, so I'm jealous. Thanks, Chris. You're the man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Chris Hines, Chicago Tribune. Going to Rio. I'm calling Jimmy DeCastro on Monday and telling him I want to go.
I mean, it's getting to the point where maybe we should have a news reporter down there to cover the public calamity.
I mean, I could swing over into news. Come on.
For a week.
Sure, why not? Mark Harmon has been sent down to Brazil because we feel he's expendable. So we have sent him to Rio.
You don't want to send somebody too important,
right?
Considering the situation.
Right. I'm volunteering to go. He may make it. He may not. If he doesn't, the station's fine.
It's a strategic. It would have to be a strategic assignment.
Yeah.
I mean,
they can't send you.
By the way, I didn't mean that as a shot at Chris by any means. Chris, in fact, I disagree with Chris going down there. I think he's way too important.
That's a valid point.
To the Tribune.
They should send out like Paul Sullivan. I'm kidding. Love Sully. But from this station, though, I mean, who else? What are they going to do? They can't send, you know, any of the major players. Carmen,
I think you're the perfect candidate.
I'm the guy to go.
I mean, I can't go because it's football season. Sorry.
Right.
I'll be. There's enough problems in Bourbon, eh?
Right. I mean, you're.
I deal with public calamity there every year.
You cover the Bears. You're sideline for Northwestern. You host the beat. Carmen. Yeah.
You got that.
I mean, I'm a strong candidate to go. I'm just going to make that pitch.
Look, Jimmy, I'm taking one for the team.
Look, I mean, really, I've sized.
You don't want to send Andrea Darlish down there?
You don't. You can't send Dave Bennett.
Yeah.
No show host, you know, weekday show hosts are going to go. Carmen. The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their Family Medicine Clinic, Speech-Language Institute, Physical Therapy Institute, Dental Institute, and Eye Institute. At their clinics, you'll receive quality care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for healthcare.
Give you an update on the disaster that is James Shields. Coming up next, 720 WGN.
So our guy in the 312 is one of our best texters. 2,500,000 different species of insects in Brazil, bees and wasps. The second deadliest animals on the planet are one-fourth of them. Cows and horses kill the most people annually. Just the facts. That would be part of the reason why you would want to send Mark Harmon to Brazil to cover the Olympics for WGN. I mean, you can't, you know, you're not going to send Steve Cochran. You're not going to send Bill and Wendy. You can't send Rokan. You can't send Dave Bennett. Adam Hoge's way too busy to do that. Everybody else at the station is extremely valuable. I should go.
Can I
update us on James Shields?
Can I give you a line here?
Yes.
I believe our guy is done for the day.
He gave it. Gave it the old college try, didn't he?
James Shields, one and two thirds innings, seven hits, six runs. They were all earned. Three. Should I do it in the press box voice?
James, line on Shields.
One and two thirds, seven hits, six runs. They were earned. Three walks, two strikeouts, one home run.
One more time.
One and two-thirds.
No, you got to go line on Shields.
Line on Shields. One and two-thirds. Seven hits. Six runs. They were earned. Three walks. Two strikeouts. One home run.
53 pitches. 30 for strikes. The worst pitcher ever.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't have the pitch. Yeah.
I'm Bob Rosenberg.
Bob Rosenberg.
That's we're talking perhaps a voice that you haven't heard, but if you're sitting if you sit in the press box,
that's what he sounds like.
There's an older gentleman who is
wild pitch.
Yes, he's not the most friendly person of all time. Wild pitch.
I've never talked to him.
How many games have you covered?
Almost all the 2008 season for you.
That was for you, Adam Hoge interning. Would you like to go and cover the White Sox?
Yes, please. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I would.
The only person that I've ever known that's really like friends with Bob, who has a relation that I know, was Red Motlow, R.I.P., who helped me get into the business back in the day. Love Red Motlow.
But look, no one won our contest. We don't have a winner.
Yeah, we said
because you said you can't go over, and our lowest guess was
three and a third.
Three and a third.
We said you can't go over.
And that's over.
You should have guessed 1-0.
Zero.
Zero.
Zero would have won it.
Yep. See, we wanted to give you a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's, but it's not going to happen. I don't know what you do. I mean, what can you do if you're the
White Sox?
How much
do they owe him?
It's like 11 a year. Well, he could opt out after the end of this year. Matt Perk.
Okay, yeah. If he opts out,
yeah, right.
That would be even more of a gift than Adam LaRoche suddenly retiring.
8 2/3 innings pitched for the Sox, 19 earned runs for James Shields. That's according to the text line. I'm going to choose to believe you, sir. We can add that up ourselves. That's historically bad. And
the White Sox are expected to pay between $27 million and $31 million of the remaining $58
million. God, great trade by the Padres.
Oh, my God.
Right? He gave up 10 runs.
He gave up 10 runs in the start before he got traded.
He's got to be hurt. Sir, for real, he's got...
Oh, no, he has to be.
He's got to be hurt. Tomorrow, June 19th, it's the Race Against Hate, which is an incredibly, incredibly cool event that's been going on for years right now. It's the Ricky Birdsong Memorial. You may remember Ricky. I hope you do. From his days coaching Northwestern, was gunned down in a hate crime, killed a long time ago now, and his family started the race against hate. So we're going to have one of his former players, who's now an assistant coach at Minnesota, to start the 6 o'clock hour. Always very engaging, interesting guy. We'll give a little tribute to Coach Bird. Nate Pomaday, former Wildcat, is going to be with us after 6 o'clock.
720 WGM.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago Sports Spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He is Adam Hoge. One of my favorite coaches this city has ever had was Ricky Birdsong, who was the head coach of the Northwestern Wildcats from 1993 to 1997. He led them to the NIT in 1994. They had to beat the Fab Five in Michigan, and he had the famous walk on the wild side where he left the bench, went into the stands, because he wanted to make the point that nothing matters what's going on outside of what's on the court and everywhere the Wildcats went. They'd be like, well, they haven't won here in 25 years. They haven't. So they were in the midst of a losing streak, and he was trying to shake it up. And, of course, Ricky was tragically gunned down by a white supremacist. He was jogging near his Skokie home at the time. Kelly, his daughter, was with him at the time. She was 10. Ricky Jr., his son, was with him. And you may remember the name Benjamin Nathaniel Smith, a member of the white supremacist creativity movement, who also killed Won Joon-yun, who was a Korean-American college student. Six Orthodox Jewish men in West Rogers Park. Just an absolutely tragic time, and Ricky was killed. And so they have the race against hate tomorrow. This has been going on since 1999 when Birdsong was shot. Nate Pomaday, who used to play for the Northwestern Wildcats, and Coach Birdsong, who's now an assistant coach at Minnesota, competing against his university, joining us now on 720 WGN. Coach Pomaday, appreciate you taking time, one. Two, give me your favorite memory of Coach Birdsong.
Mark and Adam, thanks for having me on. It's an honor to be on and talking about Coach Bird. I have a lot of memories. Probably a lot of them were in the heat of battle. But one thing, I just remember him coming to my house for the recruiting visit. And sitting down with my family and feeling, you know, extremely comfortable with my family and in my living room and just sort of explaining the whole Northwestern experience to me. And my father was already sold anyway. He didn't have to be recruited at all, but it was me. And just the way that Coach Birdsong explained everything that he'd gone through growing up, living in, you know, I think he grew up in Atlanta where there weren't a lot of white people, and he went out and played at Iowa State and graduated there where there weren't a lot of black people, and he had to figure out, you know, how to find a comb that was for a black guy's hair instead of a white guy's hair. It's just all of that experience. So, you know, he just talked about how Northwestern was a great place to meet other cultures, to meet new people, obviously set yourself up for life after basketball. But, you know, sitting down with him and then asking him the question that you just talked about, you know, when he went in the stands, funny that it is at the University of Minnesota is where it happened. And the way he explained it made so much sense to me. And I didn't care anyway. I wanted to play at Northwestern. I wanted to play for him and the assistant coaches that are there. But, you know, he explained it as if, you know, you guys have to lead yourselves. You can't constantly depend on me. You have to depend on each other. And the strongest are going to lead us. And that's what he did. And so he said he had it planned the whole time. So it was interesting. But he was the first coach that really made an impact about opening doors for people, being polite, experiencing new cultures. So when people ask him about Coach Birdsong, I always say he taught me more about life than any coach that I've been around.
So now in its 17th year, tell us a little bit about the race against hate, which it takes place in Evanston tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's a great reminder, especially now with everything that happened in Orlando, with everything that's going on around the world, how we just all have to band together and learn more about each other, learn that we're all the same people and we're all in this world to help each other out. I think it's a fantastic thing. And I know Sherilyn Birdsong got it going with the Ricky Birdsong Foundation to start the race against hate. And I remember working it, you know, a couple of years after I had left Northwestern. Maybe it was even in 99. Might even have been the year that I had graduated. But I think it's great that I think the YWCA has now taken it on, and I think it's just fantastic that it's still out there and it's still going strong. And everybody should be reminded of the man Coach Bertsong was and how it was all about bringing other cultures together.
And if you Google it, Race Against Hate, you can find all the stuff, but it's just interesting, you know, you just mentioned his wife, and she writes on here, when I was 16 years old on Christmas Day in Atlanta, I met Ricky at a friend's house. Before we left, he asked me for my phone number. I gave it to him, and thus began our pursuit of the American dream. After graduating from college, we married, began our family of three children, and during our 20th year of marriage on a beautiful Friday evening, July 2nd, 1999, our American dream became the American nightmare when Ricky and her two youngest children were taking a walk in our neighborhood. I mean, that's, we get these reminders every single day of just how fragile every single day is, but it's just, you know, somebody like this who's put in that tragic position and has, you know, tried to make the best of it, has created the Race Against Hate. You seem to, you know his wife fairly well, Nate.
Yeah, we've stayed in contact, and what's interesting are all of his children. Ricky Bertsong Jr. I'm still in contact with, and Kelly, and they're all fantastic kids. They're extremely successful. It's great to have that. I mean, I've ran into Ricky in gyms when I've been recruiting, and he's he's finding his path in life. It's been great. You know, one thing, I was just fishing with all of my former NU buddies, Evan Eschmeyer, Sean Hanlon, Joe Harmson, Sean Wink, Jeff Eschmeyer, and I sent them all an email when you asked me to come on the show, and I asked, you know, what were some things that you guys remember about Coach Bertsong? And one thing that Evan Eschmeyer brought up that I thought was great was he always challenged us. He always said, take on the biggest challenges that you can find, because that's going to make you a better person. You want to be able to step to the plate and hit the fastest fastball a guy can throw at you. And we all think about, you know, what's a bigger challenge than people's ignorance of not knowing about other cultures and the fear that creates, and embracing that and trying to teach people to get over that, learn more about each other and embrace each other and embrace each other's culture, whether it's black, white, religion, everything that we have going on, gay, straight, everything. So it's I wanted to make sure that was something that I spoke about with Coach Berg, because he was just fantastic about bringing that sort of stuff together.
And we're talking to Nate Pomaday, former player at Northwestern, now coaching at the University of Minnesota. And it's obviously a great message, Nate. You're putting it perfectly. I got to ask you now, what's it like, though, coaching in the same conference as the team you played for? I know you coaches go everywhere, and these situations happen, but it's got to be a little weird.
Well, two things. Every opportunity I've had has come from my relationship or the fact that I graduated from Northwestern, or the relationships that I've built. Even, you know, I got started in Division I with Craig Robinson, who was an assistant for Carmody.
Yep.
Craig was out at Oregon State, and so that was a relationship. And here, I have the opportunity at the University of Minnesota because Ben Johnson, who played at Northwestern for 2 years and then ended up transferring to University of Minnesota, he really vouched for me out here. So Richard Pitino felt comfortable bringing me on. But it's awesome to be back in the Big Ten. It's the best conference in the country. The fan support, everything is just, it brings back a ton of memories. And, you know, I'm obviously pro Gopher every single day. And the only other team I'll root for is Northwestern when we're not playing them. So it's great to share the conference with my alma mater, and it's a heck of a challenge at the same time.
How much do you think the arena that they're getting, the new arena, will help them?
I think $110 million is a lot of money to spend on an arena that you're not totally rebuilding, that you're adding on to. So what that says to me is they should do their very best to make it as state-of-the-art as possible. Because we redid our locker room at Williams Arena, and when we walk kids around, we tell them this is the newest locker room in the country. And I think Northwestern has an opportunity to do that, because in the end, it's all about recruiting. And if they can show how important basketball is at Northwestern, I think they'll have a shot at some really, really good players. So hopefully they can use that $110 million in the right way to make it as state-of-the-art as possible.
Yeah, no question. I think that's going to be the plan. And they're going to make it cozy, and you know, they start winning some games. It's going to be a pretty cool atmosphere. Much like the barn is when you get that. I love Williams Arena. It's one of my favorite places to watch a basketball game.
Like, my favorite place in life was Chicago Stadium, which they call Williams Arena the barn, and I've never been. It's like it's like a bucket list place. I'm coming up to see you, Nate, is the point of this.
It's really cool.
You have to. Yeah, you have to come up. It's one of the most unique arenas in the country with the raised floor, and the fans are right on you. And, you know, we struggled this past season, and we still had 10,000 people, averaging 10,000 people every game. It's incredible the support that we get. It was aside from Welsh Ryan, it was my favorite place to play in the Big Ten. So to be able to coach here is just, it's an honor. And it is a really cool experience with the crowd right on top of you. And, you know, you're, as an assistant coach, you're like kind of sitting in the pit. You're looking up at your head coach, and you're kind of slamming your hands on the floor. It's a really different experience, but. It's a ton of fun, and it gets loud. It's probably the loudest arena in the Big Ten.
People who remember watching Northwestern or just listening to you now for the first time, they can hear the energy that you're bringing, and that's how you were as a player. Where'd that come from for you? Where'd you learn to be like this energy bunny type?
Survival, man. When I was pretty talented in high school, and then I got to the Big Ten, and I was like, okay, my talent, I need to have a little bit more than my talent just to get by out here. So it's basketball has given me every opportunity in life, and it's just been, you know, so I have to give that same energy right back to it. And that's why I'm coaching, because a lot of the people who inspired me to be the person I am, they were all my coaches. And so now I have an opportunity to sort of give that back to the kids that I'm coaching. I get reminded of that every day. You know, one more thing about Coach Bird, too, was the make of a man is – I think it's who he surrounds himself with, or who he brings you with, and the type of people that he has around you. And it's really testament to Coach Bird that I'm still extremely close with Paul Swanson, who is an assistant, Sean Parrish, who is an assistant. It's Jamal Neitz's birthday today. He was an assistant coach with us, recruited us. And, you know, I just came off a fly fishing vacation with four or five of my buddies, and we all went to Northwestern for the same reasons, and we all stuck together. And it's so lifelong friends and incredible opportunities that Coach Bird offered me. So, you know, I'm excited, and I hope everything goes well with the Race Against Hate tomorrow.
That's awesome. And give us a quick update on Evan Eschmeyer, and how's his fly fishing skills? Because I'm imagining that, you know, if you're 7 feet, maybe that's an advantage out there.
It's, you know, he stumbles all over the river like an old man. His balance is never very good to begin with. But he's Evan's doing great. He's got three kids living out in Boulder, doing a bunch of different things. Graduated from Kellogg with a dual degree in law and business, and made a good amount of money in the NBA. So he's having a lot of fun out there, and it's always fun to reconnect with him. But you'll catch him back in the basketball game at some point, I have a feeling. You'll see him on a sideline somewhere.
Who wins tomorrow night?
Home team. Put your money on the home team. Hard to bet against LeBron, but you got to put your money on the home team.
All right.
I think so, too. I think a little bit of a wake-up call for the Warriors.
We'll see.
I don't have no horse in the race for me, so I'm just going to enjoy watching the game, sit down, have some popcorn, and have a good time. And it'll be interesting, though. I think it's going to be tough to beat Golden State at home, but Cleveland's really coming on strong. Hey, we'll see.
Coach Pomade, you're awesome. Thanks for talking about Coach Bird as passionate as you did. That was a great tribute to him. We really appreciate it. And when you come to town this year, we'll buy you a hot dog at Mustard's Last Stand if you eat that stuff.
Of course I do. Hopefully Big Keith's still there. I don't know. I haven't been there in a minute. But I would love to do that and give my best to Dave Ennett when you see him. And enjoy the rest of the day and the rest of the show, guys. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Nate. You're the best. Appreciate you.
Take care, guys.
That's Nate Pomade, former Northwestern Wildcat. And
great stuff.
That was awesome. Big Keith passed away. I didn't want to say that on the air while he was there. I didn't want to take his – but Big Keith was at Mustard's for years, no longer with us. Hashtag RIP for that. If you're a Northwestern fan, you know I'm talking about at Mustard's Last Stand, which is a pregame ritual or postgame. You got to go double cheeseburger, Hogue, into a hot dog.
I go hot dog.
You gotta go both, and then you gotta go both. Double cheese hot dog, and if you're really doing it, you go chocolate shake. So good.
Sounds healthy.
Yeah, it's a 2,000 calorie. Dave Bennett does it after every single game, or never.
That's the diet that Leonard Floyd's on right now.
Yeah, that's really? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, because they send him over to Mustard's every other hour.
Well, good.
No, he's literally eating every other hour. By the way, I'll talk some Bears with you coming up here after the 6:30 news.
All right. Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city with more journalists at work than any other local news source. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com. Thanks again to Nate Pomedy. The race against hate, you can still get involved. It's tomorrow, 720 WGN. And Adam Hoge.
The White Sox keep breaking my computer, by the way.
They do?
Like the score, it my computer keeps freezing.
Well, that's
every time I look at it.
That's unfortunate.
But they are down 8-0, so that's probably why.
A more important score, the drought is over. And Adam, I have to...
Did you win a tennis match?
I did. I'm so happy.
You're like, the relief on your face.
I just stared at Adam and just glowing my eyes.
I finally won.
I lost the first 2 weeks in the Shoreline Tennis League, but today against Dangerous Dave, who was
that's
not...
his name?
His name was Dave. I'm adding on the dangerous, but to me, he was Dangerous Dave. I
thought he went by Dangerous Dave in the league.
That'd be
like
cool.
When you get your draw. Like
maybe he does. He's Dangerous Dave. Dangerous Dave went down today, 6-2, 6-4 to at the Carm. Damn it! So I won't be winless on the season.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. You're gonna take it the rest of the way here. I have Father's Day duties, so Adam, you will. Are you gonna miss me?
I will. I'm not going to see you for a little bit here.
Oh, that's true.
We're both gone next weekend. I'm also gone the 4th of July weekend. So I cram all my vacation in here.
I will be
and
out.
And I'll be back for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'll be back tomorrow. I will not be back tomorrow or next Saturday and Sunday. But after that, I'll never leave you again. And, yeah. So I hate missing, but it's got to take a little time off here. So, any rate.
Coming up, I'll talk some Bears with you. Bears mini camp. Wrapped up this week. Look ahead to training camp a little bit as we take a bit of a summer break. Also have some thoughts on the White Sox and some things I learned this week. And might even revisit our show from last Sunday, which was certainly interesting. 720 WGM. Ride, Captain, ride upon your mystery ship. Back here on the beat. Adam Hoge here with you till 7 o'clock. And good work there from Dan Long pulling off a sailing song. I'm assuming that's about boats or something. Check in with a friend from last week. If you listened to the show, was that last Sunday? Saturday or Sunday. We were talking about the sailing that was going on over here at Navy Pier. And we had a caller, Mark, who chimed in and defended his sport a little bit, talked about how much he loved sailing, and then told us he was sailing to Mackinac Island this weekend. And we asked him to call in and check in. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Are you guys on the boat right now?
I am on the boat all by myself. It's a solo race.
Oh, that's right.
So there's each boat has one person. There's 18 starters this morning. Right now, the leaders are about even with Waukegan.
Okay.
We're on the lake a few miles. Winds have been pretty light all day. We started at 9 a.m., and we've only gotten to so it's a long day.
So where exactly are you at?
Right now, we are at, I can give you the coordinates, 4215 and 8735.
But so you're you're not quite to Waukegan yet?
I'm not, but the leaders are just almost to Waukegan.
So just to clarify, Mark, you are on a boat sailing by yourself and calling into WGN right now as you're sailing. That's impressive.
As I'm sailing.
Well, we appreciate you doing that. So I'm curious, how far offshore are you?
I'm sorry?
How far offshore are you at this point? Like, are you along the shore? Are you in the middle of the lake?
No, I'm offshore, but I'm straight north.
Okay.
So as you go, you know, as you go north, the land goes to the west a little bit. So, you know, but I am, if I turned around and went back to Chicago, I would go straight south to Chicago.
Gotcha. All right. Well, not surprisingly, because you're in the lake, the cell phone signal is not perfect, but we understand. I'll tell you what, Mark, tomorrow both myself and Mark Carmen are off, but they're still doing the show. And if you are in a spot where you can call in again and check in with the boys, I'm sure they'd love to hear where you're at and, how, and the progress you've made, because it's pretty cool, I think.
Great, we'll do that.
All right, thanks, Mark. That is Mark, caller and listener of The Beat, who is in the process right now of sailing from Chicago to Mackinac Island. And I got respect for that. Sailing in a boat all by himself and still managing to call. I mean, that's impressive to me. Also want to thank listeners from last Sunday. Last Sunday's show was not easy to do. We went full-on coverage of the Orlando shootings. And you look, this is a sports show, and we spend most of the time talking about things that frankly, in the grand scheme of life, aren't all that important. Sports are fun. We have fun covering them for you, and we like to entertain here. But, you know, when things happen like last week in Orlando, it kind of takes, sports has to take a back seat. And, you know, I'm not bringing this up right now to toot our own horn. What I want to bring this up for is I walked into that show, and if you go back and listen to the podcast and hear the first segment, like, I was really angry and just in a bad mood about everything that happened. And not that I left the show not angry and not in a bad mood, because everything that happened in Orlando was still awful, but I did have my spirits lifted a little bit, because we managed to talk, and I don't mean we as in Mark and Jared Payton and I, just the three of us. I mean we and you, the listeners, texters, callers, you know, for 95% of that show, we managed to have a very civil and productive conversation about guns and terrorism in this country on a sports show. And I went home reflecting on that at night last Sunday, and I just thought it was really cool. I thought it was really cool that we could have that conversation. It continued all week long on this station. And this is WGN, and it's a great forum for these conversations. And it's not always easy. And I know it's a hot topic, and everyone has very strong opinions on guns in this country. I just hope it leads to some progress. And, you know, maybe with the filibuster that there was this week in Congress, and maybe there will be some progress. I just hope we don't have to wait until the next time. And unfortunately, there will be a next time. And it sucks that reality sucks. But hopefully some action gets taken in this country before the next time, whenever that is. And I just hope that somehow that the 3 hours of radio we managed to do here on The Beat last Sunday helped with that conversation. So thanks to you, the listener, for participating, just even if you were just listening, but really in general for 95% of that show, texters, callers, it was a very civil and productive conversation, I thought. Not productive is the White Sox, and James Shields is definitely not productive, as I make an awkward segue from gun control to White Sox pitching. It is now 10-0 in Cleveland. The Cleveland Indians up 10-0. If you missed it, James Shields went just 1 2/3 innings, seven hits, 8 earned runs. We were actually wrong on his line earlier, Dan, because he still had 2 runners on base. So I didn't even think about that. His line when we announced it, which I guess I got to go back into, 1 2/3 innings, 7 hits, 8 runs, they were earned, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts, and 1 home run. Jeez, you know, I have to think, and Carmen and I talked about this briefly, he's got to be hurt. There's no other explanation for, what is this, 4 starts now, 3 in a White Sox uniform, 1 with the Padres, where he's pitching this poorly. He has given up, I'd have to go back and look it up exactly. I think 19 runs, though, in 8 2/3 innings. in a White Sox uniform, and then you add on the 10 he gave up in his last start in San Diego, and if he is hurt, that means the reality that the White Sox traded for a hurt pitcher, which cannot be acceptable.
Yeah, then you have to look into what did San Diego know and when.
And what did the White Sox miss? Because you got to do your due diligence. I have a feeling that he's, and this is all just speculation, but it would not surprise me if he's on the DL, maybe by tomorrow. Because whether it's just a strain or whatever it is, and maybe they'll come out and say he's not hurt. Sure seems like. Now, what's weird, though, is his velocity isn't all that different. It's not like he's. It's different in a larger trend from, like, early in his career. He has lost, like, 2 or 3 miles an hour. But compared to earlier this season, it's about where he's been all season. So that's usually an indication a guy's hurt, but his breaking stuff's not working right now. He can barely even go to it. Something's not right. And maybe he just needs a timeout.
If he is healthy, though, do you trot him back out there in 5 days?
Well, that's what I mean. How can you? I mean, this guy isn't just... He's pitching worse than Matt Latos and John Danks combined.
Yeah.
This is they're getting progressively worse with this spot in the rotation. So, DL him and give him a break. I don't know what you do, but you're stuck with him now. Close to $30 million, is it, that they're going to owe? I was kind of joking earlier, but, and it's only been 3 starts. This looks like one of the worst trades in Chicago history, though. No matter what happens with Eric Johnson and Fernando Tatis Jr., who they sent to San Diego, just the fact that you have to pay him that much money. I mean, if you got him for free, or you had just signed him, then it would have gone down as one of the worst free agent signings. Again, it's only 3 starts, so it's hard to make that declaration. But it's certainly not looking good. The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their Family Medicine Clinic, Speech Language Institute, Physical Therapy Institute, Dental Institute, and Eye Institute. At their clinics, you will receive quality care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for healthcare. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back. One more thought on the White Sox and Robin Ventura. There's certainly a lot of buzz this week about Robin Ventura's job status, and it's more than just us talking about it here on the radio. There was some credible reports, also some information I heard, and I do want to make a couple Bears notes here before I get out of here, as they are officially on their summer break, and in about 13 minutes, I will be too. This is 720 WGN. Wrapping things up here on the beat, my name is Adam Hoge. Amy Guth coming up next. The Saturday night special, tonight's topic, the shooting in Orlando. She'll have a panel of experts talking about the narratives, big issues around the shooting, and correcting some misinformation as well, as there is plenty of misinformation out there. On that topic, I got a lot of thank yous for sharing the Jim Jeffries video with you last week. I told you, and if you haven't, Google Jim Jeffries, gun control. He is an Australian comedian, and he has a unique perspective on this issue because he comes from a country that did ban guns and effectively eliminated, not completely, but certainly made a big dent in mass shootings in that country. Along those same lines, I can give you another video this week that's actually from 2013, but it was shared on Facebook a little bit this week, and I had not seen it before. But it's from The Daily Show. So if you Google Daily Show gun control whoop-de-doo, I know that sounds funny. It is funny, but it's also serious. John Oliver, who now, of course, does the show on HBO, but back when he was doing stuff for The Daily Show, he did just an amazing interview with somebody on the topic, basically a gun nut. And by the end of the interview, he had the guy spout basically using his own arguments against him. It was very well done. So go check that out. The Daily Show, Gun Control, whoop-de-doo. One last note on the White Sox. I guess my point here is I don't know what they're waiting for. This tailspin continues. There's more than just smoke around Robin Ventura now. John Heyman from CBSSports.com, who is just a tremendous reporter, and if he's writing about it, it means it's real. And he has information that he wrote about saying that there's definitely been some discussions about Robin Ventura's job security. And I'm going to make this clear, and I feel like I have to couch it every single time. This is not all Robin's fault. It is baseball. It can't be all the manager's fault. It's mostly the player's fault. I think the front office deserves a lot of blame too. But at some point, your record as a manager is your record. And when the same problems keep popping up over and over and over again, there has to be some accountability there. I do know, I was told this week there was some kind of meeting with Jerry Reinsdorf that involved Kenny, that involved Rick Hahn, that involved Robin Ventura, involved Ricky Renteria. Some of the other, I think Don Cooper was in there. I think some of the other coaches were as well. I don't know what it was about. I maybe it's completely normal for that meeting to occur, but I did find that interesting, but also that they were all there. It caught my attention when I heard that. And then you hear the John Heyman story or read it a few days later. But if they're going to make a move, I just don't know what they're waiting for. Are they waiting for the White Sox to be so far out of this that it doesn't matter anymore? Because if you're going to make a move, you might as well do it while you're still in it and see if, I don't know if Ricky Renteria is going to be able to fix anything. But I do know that whatever's going on right now with this team, it's not working. Quickly on the Bears. The Bears mini camp was this week, and it was very interesting to see John Fox cut practice short on Thursday. I was very happy about that because I was going to Lake Geneva, and I got to leave an hour earlier. Thank you, John. But it's not about me. The players, look, they're not surprising to see some reactions from some fans and even a couple writers in this town to say, how can the Bears give up a practice when they clearly need so much of it? This time of year, you're trying to create a culture. You're trying to set the groundwork for the rest of the season. And that was clearly sort of a motivational move by John Fox to say, look, you guys have worked your butts off during the offseason. Go enjoy the summer. And we'll see a training camp in Bourbonnais. And the players were elated, and I can just tell you whether it's that day or other days around this team in the offseason, the culture is better. The players are more of a family, and that's despite the fact that they made some tough moves like cutting Matt Slauson, who was one of the leaders on that team that held it all together. But I think going into training camp, there's a lot of optimism. And when I say that, I'm not talking about a team that's going to win a Super Bowl, but maybe has a chance to make the playoffs this year. And I don't think that's a stretch at this point. But that is about a month away, even more so than a month. July 27th is when the Bears report to training camp. Until then, you're going to hear mostly baseball. And for the next 2 weekends, you won't hear me because I'm going on vacation myself. My name's Adam Hoge. This is The Beat. We'll catch up with Amy Guth next at 720 WGN.